This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Everything Evolves, the world's only podcast devoted exclusively to Evolve Wrestling. I am one of your hosts. I'm Aaron Bentley, at Aaron Like the Car on Twitter. And as you know, Aaron Taub is not with us this month. He's out doing socialism. So we have some guests. And today I have Jake, a.k.a. Oatgan, and Nate, a.k.a. Epitasis. What's up, guys?
Hi. That really delivered. I was really looking forward to actually seeing you do the "this is" in person.
Yeah,
and it got into it. That was fun.
Excellent, thanks, Jake. Did you enjoy it as well?
I was waiting for you to say the line, and you said the line. So didn't get to hear it Mania weekend. I was a little bummed, but
yeah,
you didn't get to hear about what?
Didn't get to hear the line Mania weekend.
Oh, that's right. That's right. We all hung out over Mania weekend, and there was some podcasting, but I did not get to take part, sadly.
I think the sound files have since been lost to time, so no harm.
Oh, yeah, what happened to that?
I don't know. I have to ask Mr. Spears.
I kept waiting to hear that, and it was
like 45 minutes of audio that didn't even complete like a day and a half of the weekend. So,
you know, it might have been that Taub like surreptitiously destroyed it because he didn't want any Don, Aaron, and Aaron episodes to make the air. Mm-hmm. But I see we've supported that anyway. So,
yeah, little did he know it would soon become a necessity. Just quickly before we get started, of course, you can find the show on Twitter at EvolvePod, and you can check out what AT is doing at AP Taub. Make sure you're subscribing on iTunes or Google Play or wherever you get your podcasts. You can subscribe just to the Everything Evolves feed, or you can get the full Voices of Wrestling podcasting network at voicesofwrestling.com or also on the podcast app of your choice. Okay, we had two good shows this weekend, Evolve 106 and Evolve 107. We're going to get into those, but I want to talk to the guys first. If you're not familiar with Oatgan and Epitasis, and why wouldn't you be? I want to give you an introduction. So, Jake, let's start with you, Oatgan. Tell us about yourself. Who are you?
I'm just some shithead from Twitter. Like, I don't. There's no greater thing. I have nothing really to plug. You know, I don't do anything else. I don't have any projects I'm working on. This is it. Oh, I was on Omakase last week. I think voting is still open. Ooh. So go ahead and vote for my indie supercard.
Yeah, so last I checked, you were pretty well ahead. I mean, I haven't checked recently, though.
I think I'm still up by like 10 to 15% or something.
Yeah, I think I'm maybe at 30% and you're still pushing 50 last I looked. Yeah.
That's tough. I'm sorry, Nate.
That's right. I know in my heart that mine is the superior card, so... You know, we know that democracy is a failed experiment at this point, so I'm not really sweating it.
Yeah, so you can only come on Everything Evolves if you are already hastening the demise of capitalism. So Nate and Jake will continue on in that
tradition.
Tradition, that's good.
I think spirits, buddy.
That's good. Nate, you got any plugs or anything you want to talk about?
Yeah, no, I'm much like Jake, don't really have anything to plug. I don't have any ongoing projects or creative outlets other than my terrible tweets, but you can find me on Twitter at Epitasis. Everyone loves my terrible tweets. They all go out to mass acclaim. I have no sort of enemies or grudges on Twitter whatsoever, so you can look forward to that. And yeah, I think that's about the long and short of it.
Excellent. All right, well, we're going to talk about Evolve, of course. So I also wanted to talk to you guys a little bit about, you know, what your interest is in promotion. Do you regularly follow it? Nate, let's start with you.
Okay. I just happened to notice this because I did the WWN, the new WWN site for the first time and watching these shows. But The first Evolve show that I had watched was 35, which was like in that weird bombed out Brooklyn bar, which like looked like it was falling over, and it had a very sort of underground Fight Club feel, or, you know, that sort of stereotype. So that's how long I've been semi watching the promotion. Really, I guess I sort of fell off when they had the like Premier Athlete brand and TJP and Drew Gulak running around and doing all that.
Sure. We all did.
Yeah. But no, Jake's a lifer. But yeah, as you know, when the Flow Slam came up and when we started going to WrestleManias, I started watching it more regularly. So yeah, that's how really, you know, who got me into Evolve, I would say, is probably Tim Thatcher. Just because on that first Brooklyn show, I was like, oh, here's the guy you would never see on the WWE, but is still very striking and has a lot of presence.
Is that like one of the guys in the promotion you're most into?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he doesn't really have like a, you know, arc or, you know, character development point at this time. He's just seems more like a guest or fly-in talent when they do have him. But I would certainly say that he's one of my guys.
Jake, we've already alluded to the fact that you have watched probably every minute of Evolve. I mean, is that correct?
There's actually, I probably have seen all but about five shows. Right after Flow Slam ended, I did not buy that first weekend. And then some of like the ones in the mid-teens, I've kind of regularly live watched all of the iPay-per-views since they've been doing them. In addition to FIP. and Style Battle. So I'm probably one of about I've seen every single Style Battle.
What about ACW? You've seen all the ACW shows?
I used to have those on as background noise during the Flow Slam era, but like not really paying attention. Enough to know some people, but no.
But you're not like if those ACW were runs like
sub FIP.
Yeah, I mean like if they run this weekend ACW, are you gonna be buying it? That's
no. No. Like, okay, so I bought like a couple FIP shows before kind of the FIP relaunch.
Everything Barons.
And then I watched all those because of Flow Slam. Like I wouldn't have bought all those shows. That's insane.
Sure, you would never buy anything that didn't have obvious value.
You've never purchased anything ironically or just
I have like so like my irony budget, like I'm not gonna go over like $25 is where that tops out.
And what was the low-key seminar?
I think that was 25.
25, okay.
I just love the idea of you sitting down and like doing your budget each month and being like, irony. Well, I was low last month, so I can drop another $10 this month on
basically,
entertainment.
Got the tax return. I'm ready to spend $25 on irony every weekend.
Would you have bought the low-key seminar if you realized he was a Jordan Peterson fan?
Yeah. Like that, I wish he talked more about that because that would have been like much less dry than anything else he was talking about.
Oh, what a guy!
Would have got more likes and retweets, you know?
Yeah, sure. Oh, yeah, would have done great for your numbers. Well, so we've now discussed that Oat loves to do things that are ironic and that crack the rest of us up on Twitter. Nate, we didn't really get into my favorite part of your personality, which is that, you know, one of the reasons I didn't create this Google Hangout until like 2 minutes before it started was because I was playing Bang Dream, which you brought to my life.
Yes, so, you're welcome for that.
I mean, and I know like so many people now who play Bang Dream because of you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bang Dream, that's just part really of my part of my role as a Bushiroad stan on Twitter is I have to push Bang Dream on as many people as possible. So listeners, I plug this on Omakase as well, but you can add me as a friend on Bang Dream and try and get those full combos going. You'll probably start off more like Bentley here and not be able to FC the master level tracks, but you know, with enough perseverance, you can get there. And Iba Aina, the voice of Yukina and a former Joshi wrestler of with Actress Girls, will be performing at AX next week, so go and check her out.
That was a great plug.
Thank you.
I'm up to 8 full combos on hard, and I've cleared about probably about 40 songs on hard.
Very good. Got to start somewhere.
Wow. Still getting nagged on my Bing Dream skills.
No, that was supportive. Amazing. That was, you do have to start somewhere.
For the record, I don't do this.
Yeah, what's that about, Ode? I mean, jump in.
I'm just not into mobile games that much.
Like mobile games?
I like rhythm games quite a bit. I'm not into the music that much.
But the music has grown on me. It wasn't my favorite type to begin with, but it kind of makes you wonder and maybe makes you worry about, what level of stuff that you end up enjoying is just the amount of it that you're exposed to. Because, when I started, I was not super huge into the music either. But I will say rhythm games are the only type of mobile game I really like, because you're actually like playing something that's well suited to the platform instead of just like playing a fake RPG or clicker game or whatever.
If I have to pick one, I'm usually more into kind of the management sim type of mobile game stuff. But okay. Yeah, I don't know. If I have my phone in my hand, I'm usually staring at Twitter or Instagram or something. Something productive, you know?
Yeah. Well, Bang Dream, great respite from both of those. So.
Yeah, I figured out like that Bang Dream is perfect for waiting at the barbershop. So I bring my headphones to the barbershop. I've only done this like the past two times. But I find myself like nodding along to the songs.
Yeah.
Like I must look like an insane person.
I get like one haircut every probably 2 or 3 months. So not a whole lot of time to mobile game.
I go once every 2 weeks.
Wow. Okay. I'm like a bald man, so I just shave my own head when gets to the point where you can start to notice the male pattern baldness line go around the rim of my head. At that point, that's where I start to shave it all off. So I haven't been to a barbershop in many years, probably not since I lived in Miami.
I think I've only ever seen you in a hat. So
you were bald. Dad, when the hair really started going, was not a hat person before that. Really, your listeners are learning so much about me.
That's the point of everything evolves.
Okay.
That's the point.
It's the evolution of my hairline.
Exactly. All right. Well, we will get into these shows. The first night, Evolve 106 on Saturday in Brooklyn at the Most Precious Blood Youth Center. I must say that I did have people in the mentions talking about their enjoyment of the band Most Precious Blood. So I felt like all was not for naught.
Not
you guys
familiar.
Know anything about Most Precious Blood?
No, I didn't even. I'll Google it now. Is it like a hardcore band? I
think yeah, New York hardcore.
Okay.
Yeah. I did post it on my normal timeline, Aaron Liked the Car, and Robin Reed checked it out, and he was into it. So I'm converting people to New York hardcore, so that's good.
This real sort of Zack Sabre Jr. core here. Got the veganism, animal rights, belligerence.
Yes, I could see Zach being into Most Precious Blood.
Okay.
For sure. Yes. All right.
This is an Evolve podcast. We have no reason to talk about Zach.
Oh, stiff.
He told me in New Orleans that he's going to be back soon. So,
scoop.
That was a work.
Scoop.
That was a work.
Work scoop.
We're gonna start at the top of the show and where this show should have ended. The WWN Championship match. Austin Theory loses the title to Joey Janela. Janela beats him with a super brain buster. Because I want the correct take on this match, I'm going to go to Jake first. Jake, how did you feel about Joey Janela becoming WWN champion?
I mean, he's a much bigger star than Austin Theory. So, and it's clear based on the crowd response that he brought more of them in, certainly, than Austin Theory did. So, got to think this is the right call.
All right, Nate, let's hear the opposing view.
Yeah, I don't. First of all, I don't think having Joey with the belt is really going to make any difference to the people that are coming to see Joey, because they don't care if he's like a pushed act. They just want to see Joey and see the whole shtick there.
To that, I would say him having the title means that he's coming back like more often. At the very least.
Fair, but he's not. We don't have him scheduled for any New Japan tours anytime soon or anything, so I don't think it's like he's super hard to get first dates on. I think just Austin had room to grow into the belt, and I think was starting to show some of that. Like ever since that progress show we saw him at in Orlando, and then again on these shows, I feel like his confidence is already ratcheted up, and his heel work has started to be more effective because of that. I just think people were saying, "Oh, his title reign wasn't working," or whatever. But it's like it's a secondary belt. for the most part, he was having pretty good performances with it. You have room to grow with him. Whereas, I'm just not like, I don't get up for Joey Janela main event singles matches, like in a way that I would get up for like a Keith Lee or Zack Sabre Jr. So while Theory isn't at that level either, it's also like, at least you can watch him, you know, develop and improve with that in the big spot. Yeah, I don't know. I don't get super high on non-gimmick Joey Janela work rate fests.
Yeah, this weekend featured the third and fourth Joey Janela matches I've ever seen.
They were both good. Neither was bad.
They were both good, but it's like I'm agreeing with you in that I've never had any interest in seeking out his singles matches, other than seeing him at Spring Break the two times I've seen him, which I love both of those. But I just think it's good to inject some life into this promotion. Austin Theory can still be very dry. And with Zach gone, Keith Lee gone, I feel like this promotion needed a little something extra. And just having Joey Janela there brings it. But if you're going to book him in this match, I think it makes sense to put a title on him and make him seem like a bigger part of the brand.
Yeah, I mean, I liked the whole theme of the weekend seemed to be establishing a lot of new guys and putting them over big to indicate that they're going somewhere new kind of with the brand. But yeah, I'm more interested in seeing Austin Theory develop on the top of a card or toward the top of a card than I am in seeing Joey Janela work great matches.
I will say a friend of the show, TJ Hawk, was in attendance and he said that Janela seemed like the most over guy on the show. In the crowd, that everybody knew him before he ever came out. And so I don't know what that adds or if Janela is able to help them with that in anywhere else other than, the New York, New Jersey area.
Yeah, I don't know that I've seen like him pop big attendance numbers out here in Chicago when he's been here. I mean, the AEW and GCW has both done well, but I guess it makes your product seem a little more fresh, but I say like, why not make him like the ace of FIP if FIP is going to continue to go ahead and be an actual thing, since he seems like more suited to that sort of attitude.
Cause no one watches FIP.
True.
Oh, it makes a fair point. I guess part of it, you can do whatever you want with this title. I mean, for example, Riddle does the no rope break thing for his championship matches. Joey Janela can make these matches into whatever he wants.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess I'm not really one for Evolve. I don't know. It doesn't fit the Evolve brand. I guess I don't know what the Evolve brand is, but like deathmatch.
Nate, I don't know if you ever listened to the show, but an ongoing theme is that nobody knows what the overriding brand of Evolve is.
Yeah. I mean, there are some pieces to a brand, I think, with a couple of these people that they debuted and had big wins on these shows. But yeah, it's not all in sync. And I don't know. I don't know. This match, Joey's facials seemed really goofy to me. And it's like, these facials don't fit with like the Evolve serious work rate style. The promotion that gave us peak grapple fuck is not like Joey Janela cartoonish facials.
That's true, but it makes Evolve feel more like the place to be, like on the cutting edge, if they have a guy like Janela who is on fire.
Yeah, it certainly it's a statement that says, hey, we're fresh and we're current, but I don't know, it's not the right angle of fresh for me personally. But I'm not gonna super fault it or say it's the wrong move. Because he was certainly very over, and I don't know. After the first show, it seemed like maybe Theory was not long for this world, but just not my preferred direction, I guess.
Jake, what did you think of the match itself?
It was fine. Like it was pretty good. I don't do star ratings. I'm like Aaron in that way. But it, like it was pretty good. There's not a whole lot I'd change about it. It wasn't. It didn't drag. Like some Austin Theory main events I've seen in the past. It wasn't too over the top, like some Joey Janela stuff I've seen before. It was everything it needed to be.
Nate?
Yeah, I liked it. But all of his matches were good. I didn't really, like I said, that I don't really look forward to Joey Janela work rate matches, but it's not like he didn't deliver entertaining matches on either of these shows. But I thought it kind of got more fun as it got more overbooked than like when Penelope and Priscilla got involved. But there's also just like some goofiness, like why would the referee let him go up the top rope with a belt? Why would you do like a top rope belt shot? That was very silly to me. But yeah, no, I thought it got super hot, like when the crowd started believing that Joey could win. So again, got the good reaction. Can't really fault it, but yeah, both good matches.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Since nobody else slapped a star, I had it at about a 3-star match, just, you know, better than average, but nothing special. But it was a lot of fun. The actual main event on this show was the Evolve champion Matt Riddle going to a no contest with Shane Strickland. Can either of you explain the finish of this match to me?
Jake, you got it. All you.
Well, they kind of brawled to the back, which is like everyone standing directly behind a curtain, like 2 feet away. And then the banner fell, like what would normally be the Flow Slam banner that fell down on every show anyway, that fell down like for real this time. And then they come back to the ring and the whole locker room's kind of around it in like you might do if there was like a hot title change coming or something, you know, but no, they just, I don't really know. I'm going to be honest. I was very drunk for the second half of the show.
So
I stopped taking notes at some point, so I don't actually have anything after.
Well, extremely tan Brandon Tully took a bump at some point and was out.
That was for like a death bump too, yeah.
Yeah, for like ever. And the other ref that came out wouldn't like take over his job as ref for some reason. So I don't know. So there was this weird mention on commentary by Ron Neamey that no one came out to help Riddle last month when Strickland was destroying his arm. Yes. And that kind of played into the month before. Lenny Leonard said on commentary that, you know, I thought it was interesting. No one came out to celebrate with Riddle when he won the title. So I thought they were trying to continue to play this up that nobody likes Riddle. But the locker room folks who came out seemed to be more upset with Shane Strickland. So I didn't really get it.
Yeah, they did a weird. So the curtain falls down and after the brawl and the whole crowd gets mad at Strickland. I'm sorry, the wrestlers get mad at Strickland. So you have John Davis, like who's new or returned to the promotion, who's like right up in his face, and you have Tracy Williams like trying to be super mean mug and tough guy behind him, and they like throw him back out into the ring to face Riddle, I guess.
Right.
But yeah, they paid off this. I guess that was the payoff to the story. Maybe that the locker room doesn't like Riddle, even though I guess the payoff is no, wait, they actually do. That also, I don't know if that worked, like, because Riddle is now doing this Cena thing at the end of every show where he does, like, the I'm the super good guy who represents the promotion, which, like, I don't really, like, is there anybody that you would believe doesn't like Matt Riddle on, like, an interpersonal level? Like, I know you guys don't like him in, like, the character sort of level, but I feel like if you worked with him, he would be very agreeable.
I get the feeling that like he's probably cool to you know, see like once a month backstage in the locker room, but like after an extended period of time, it would get very grating. That's my read on it.
Okay,
I could easily buy that. I think he's one of those people who can probably win you over pretty easily.
Hmm.
But I can absolutely see Jake's take that he would become annoying after a while.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like he's too chill to be too annoying. I feel like at his worst, he's like zooted out in the corner of the locker room or whatever.
That's possible. I guess I didn't really think Shane Strickland could win this, but I thought that was the most interesting payoff they could have done with this match, especially after Strickland really destroyed him last month. You know, it just would have been something new and interesting, but I don't know. Just where do you go from here? What is obviously, I guess they have to, this feud must continue, but I don't know, it loses a lot of steam with me with this no contest.
Yeah, I'm not sure what Strickland's, because he wasn't on the second show.
Right.
So that seems like, is he not going to be there full time, or was that just a pre-existing booking before Evolve got, you know, first bid on his dates or whatever the case is? But yeah, I didn't really, I guess they have to build this to a bigger match down the line, but they didn't set that up either. They set up the next Riddle match the next night, but they didn't set up a future route to take this Strickland angle.
What did they even do? Is it like a lumberjack match or something awful next?
Yeah, probably. But it's like, I don't know, you start Shane Strickland, unless, you know, this is a short-term thing. From their first interaction, and then it just doesn't. But you start out anywhere, it can't go anywhere, so it's kind of a bummer.
My other issue is just like this angle. They knocked down the curtain and showed the whole locker room, and it was just like the stage of this venue, and it looked really goofy and low rent indie wrestling, which is, you know, a necessity, I'm sure, but it, I don't know, it looked really goofy to have everybody there just palling around in the locker room like, hey, yeah, no, you knocked the curtain down and we're all literally just standing here. Like the first of all show I watched, 35, when it was in like the shittiest looking bar in the city of New York, was more interesting for that, I think. And, you know, I can't ask Gabe, hey, get way more interesting venues, even if they're not easy to produce or promote for pro wrestling. But yeah, the goofy ass curtain did not make this look like great production or a particularly interesting aesthetic.
Yeah, that's like the dark secret about Evolve, is that it's like a shitty indie with WWE's backing.
Yeah, it's not. I don't know that it's that secret. I don't know. I was giving Tab a hard time and calling it like a minor league.
There was an email. You may have seen it.
No, I'm not familiar. Yeah, it's like they have pretty high-level talent, but they run largely shitty venues with bad production.
So my biggest problem with their venues is it's always just dark. And I can't see the crowd. Like, LaBoom, they run all the time. And I guess that's probably better live, but, like, it looks like there's 20 people in that building. It's dark. It looks dingy. I don't know. Like, the ones they were at this weekend I thought were much... much nicer as a viewer.
Yeah, I've gone over this too many times, but it's like on one wall they had, like where they had the locker room, they had that curtain up, right?
Yeah.
Why can't they put the curtains up on the other sides so that I don't have to see this, whatever this bizarre building is? Like, I don't know, make it look a little more professional.
Yeah, you'd rather see a side of the fans opposite the hard camera than see the curtain for the, you know, just the generic black curtain that every indie uses to block off the entrance or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. I like LaBoom, like at least LaBoom, the lighting, I don't know, I think the lighting's better in LaBoom, and it because it's always pretty full and you have like a regular crowd that can go on a regular basis, you always get a hot crowd there.
Right.
Yeah, they do all these new venue attempts and end up touring to all these cities where they're not like established, and it usually ends up hurting the show. Although I say that, but then this had a super hot crowd, and also like the crappy venue, I think probably accented the crowd on this show because it was like a den of noise where everybody was just yelling the entire show, which kind of worked in its favor.
Yeah, you just can't book Adam Cole or whoever for every show, right? Or maybe they can now. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll talk about Adam Cole more later, I'm sure. Next match was a 6-man grudge match. And we had Chris Dickinson, Jaka, and Dominic Guarini defeating Tracy Williams, Timothy Thatcher, and Anthony Henry. Jaka rolled up Anthony Henry to get the win. What did you guys think about this match? It kind of like we had a hot show building, and I felt like this was a letdown.
Yeah.
So like the babyface team, they didn't click at all as team because they were just kind of three guys thrown together for no reason. Like, I really don't have anything else to say about this match.
Well, I think Thatcher is certainly a heel as of the second show, but was he supposed to be a face on this first show? Because, like, RingConf always codes heel to me.
And also, everyone's hated him since, like, Evolve 50.
Yeah, I guess he was baby-faced in that he was against Stone.
Yeah, so I'll do my bit here about how Tracy Williams is like a heel, because I noted here that I just don't really know what Catchpoint is. I've never known what it is. I've watched and attended like all these shows, and I just don't. It's a stable with the same name, even though it's gone through 15 iterations. But I think Doom Patrol side of Catchpoint is supposed to be the heel, because Stokely is like supposed to be this two-faced guy. But Thatcher certainly wasn't the face, or doesn't code as a face in this match. And Hot Sauce is like supposed to be the face in this feud, because he messed up his contract with Stokely Hathaway and accidentally sold him the stable. And that's, I guess we're supposed to sympathize with him for not having a lawyer read the contract. I don't know. And he just doesn't, I don't get like the babyface fire from him or anything at all. I'm like considerably more interested in Chaka and Chris Dickinson.
Yeah, they're always. Oh, go ahead, Jake.
Oh, I'm not going to argue with any of that, because you are correct. But Tracy shaved; he looks pretty good now. So,
I love that he also shaved his chest hair.
Yeah, I like gear now as a thing, because I'm just into like the aesthetics of wrestling now. And like, if you're just going to do the plain black trunks, like you have to have super physical charisma, like your Shibata or someone. Like, you know, you can be a wrestler and not have otherworldly physical charisma, like not every Shibata. Or you need to have like a Tim Thatcher physique where you're just like super ripped and like, oh yeah, no, this guy's here now. And Tracy doesn't, he's not commanding enough for the black tights and black trunks, or black boots and black trunks.
Yeah, he looked, once he shaved his face and his body, he looked pretty weird on these shows, like somebody's little brother. It was very strange. I mean, Thatcher, I think, is actually pretty charismatic. I know a lot of people think his matches are boring. And
he's
I'm
got great facials.
Yes.
Like he's always selling what's happening in the ring.
Yes. Like, there's that great moment in the Anthony Henry match, which we'll talk about, where he was like, oh, shit, like, my leg is destroyed. What am I going to do? And it was, like, almost corny, except that I loved it.
Yeah, I would not. Thatcher has every type of charisma except, like, spoken charisma, I think, so.
Yeah, no, he rules. And he set up that Henry match after this match when he attacked him. They had like some miscommunication type issues during the match, and that led to a singles match for the next night. Just before this match, we got Earl Cooter, friends. Brian Idol defeated Mike Verna. And I said on Twitter that Mike Verna, all caps, got a reaction and Brian Idol couldn't. And Mike Verna liked that, even though I was clearly shading him, which I really enjoyed. I don't have anything to say about this match. Well, I take that back. The first half of this card was awesome. It was really building. Felt cool. It was like, oh, man, this is like one of the most fun Evolve shows in a long time. And then they bring out these guys to start the second half of the show. I mean, it was very dumb and very bad.
Yeah, I was driving to Wendy's. I got the Son of Baconator combo, which I shouldn't have done. It was just not worth the money or the experience of eating it. The Dr. Pepper was fine. Doesn't Brian Idol, shouldn't he supposed to have like heat because he messed up a license or something? Isn't that a whole thing?
He was still listed as the promoter for a few shows that had to cancel because his like promoter's license expired. I assume he got that renewed because I can't think of another reason he would be on this show.
Okay, that if he's sorted it out and that's why he's now got, you know, back in with Evolve here, I guess that would make sense. That was unusual when you guys were like, oh yeah, Earl Cooter's here now, while I was driving to Wendy's. I'm like, oh, that's a surprise.
I don't know why this didn't like open the show. I don't know why it was like right out of intermission.
Yeah, very bad choice.
I don't mind. I don't mind doing like a lower level, like a reset match after the intermission, because hopefully, you know, people are coming back from merch tables or whatever. So you don't want to throw something awesome out there right away, I guess. But yeah, it wouldn't have been this. Although I didn't see it, but it wouldn't have been this with those guys for me.
Leading into intermission was for me the best match of the night. Darby Allin defeats Walter. I don't know. He kind of countered a sleeper hold and rolled him up into a pin. I don't know what to call that. But Darby wins in what was an absolutely incredible match. We had, I guess my favorite part was Darby working Walter's hand.
Yes.
To try to stop him from chopping him, I guess. Amazing stuff.
Yeah, this was like a match of the year level match for me. This I don't know that you can peak with better matches on a show of this level. Like, can you have a better minor league indie match than this? I don't know that you can. This was Darby's awesome. The match was super hot. All the cops in New York were behind the prison guard Walter, so that was distressing. But Darby, I think, eventually won most of them over. And yeah, he's just like an awesome baby face. He's super small, but he uses his weight like, I don't know if I want to say this, but it's like almost like a Rey Mysterio level where he uses his size and the other guy's momentum to his advantage when he's doing his comeback in a way that's super believable, even though it doesn't seem like it should be, like the Code Red or targeting the hand or like that spot where Walter like lifted him up to do a move on the apron and Darby just landed on the apron because he's, you know, 4 feet tall or whatever. That stuff all kicked ass and made it all work, even though it seems like it should be absurd for tiny ass Darby and his Kurt Cobain, Daisy Dukes to beat Walter here.
Jake, your thoughts on the match?
This is up there with the best stuff I've seen this year, easily. Darby is sort of, like, I've been thinking about it a lot lately. I think he is, like, my favorite wrestler right now. Just such a believable underdog babyface. Like, I've watched this guy's entire career, start to finish. And, you know, a lot of people say, like, this guy shouldn't, he should chase the title. He should never be the champion. You know what I mean? Fuck that. Darby's the best, man. Right. He won over that this crowd was, like, 90% Walter to start and, like, on their feet cheering for him at the end. He's the man.
I'm kind of bummed that I didn't like this quite as much as both of you did. Like, I had it just below match of the year level. Like 4.25 is kind of where I would have it.
Yeah, I don't know if I do star ratings, but this will definitely be one of the more memorable matches of my year. So that's sort of what I go off is, am I likely to remember this in X months?
Right.
And honestly, Darby's been on the indie level. Darby has had like 3 or 4 of those over the last couple of years, which is more than a lot of guys. So yeah, Darby is the best. He's cool, even though he's like, I don't know, he's not like cool in a way that I would understand cool, but he's like obviously authentic and like cool unto himself and like knows what he's doing. And even if the audience doesn't get behind it or like work with it, he's still just out there living his gimmick. And yeah, match was awesome. I do wonder like making him the champion or something. Like he seems like the kind of guy that you don't know if he would work on like a bigger level. Like would he work in like a NXT or like a best of the super juniors. I feel like he'd like one of those ECW guys where they graduated him to WCW, WWF, and they just fell on their face because he wasn't meant for that stage, I guess.
I think he's too good as a babyface. I think he would have to succeed.
Okay.
I think if they let him succeed,
right,
he'd succeed.
Right.
You know?
But he's not on this level, don't get me wrong, but like, Brian Danielson succeeded, right?
It's true.
All the same.
Yeah, it's hard to imagine. I guess, you know, his gimmick and his whole character is so authentic to being like indie guy making his dreams come true and out here and fighting with everything that it being so complete right now makes it hard to imagine him on the next level up, I feel like.
Yeah, I think NXT kind of plays into that though, right? It's like,
can you see him under the bright lights on NXT? Like, I feel like putting him under all those, you know, neon LED screens and shit would just like...
It wouldn't feel like Darby.
No, it would kill it. Yeah. It would totally kill it.
He can't sell out.
Yeah, but NXT is like people who still feel like they haven't sold out. Like, the fans who are watching it feel like they're watching something that's authentic, even though it's not.
Oh, I'm not speaking for, like, myself personally. Like, he'd be over at NXT because anyone they push in NXT is over.
Just like aesthetically. Just like...
But just, it would be wrong.
His face paint, like under like the WWE super produced rotating lights,
The face paint I could honestly do without. But
no, that's the right kind of weird. That's like the weird. We're like, what are you doing? But then it's like, oh, he's being himself, so it works.
Yeah, but now I had never thought about him in like a Best of the Super Juniors, and now I'm kind of obsessed with it. Just in the last 1.5 minutes.
You're welcome. Just marinate on that for a little bit.
Like, can you imagine Darby versus Hiromu?
That should happen.
That should absolutely happen.
That should happen, like, in Lucha memes.
Honestly, what I'm more excited about is the idea of something like Tiger Mask versus Darby, where Tiger Mask just, like, tries to beat the shit out of him.
In the Walter role.
Yes! I love these big little matches. It's just, it's extremely my shit.
Oh, yeah. And now, this was like a super version of that Drew Galloway versus Speedball Mike Bailey match from PWG.
Yeah.
This was like that on, this was on crack or something. This was the superior version of that, which I, you know, surprised to say, but Walter is like such a imposing and just genuine asshole, you feel like, because, you know, he makes it real. He just like beats the shit out of the guy. And then you're like, oh yeah, this is actually happening.
Yeah, it's like, maybe I'm a huge mark, but there were times in this match where I'm like, no, Walter really doesn't think Darby Allin should be a wrestler. Like, he really doesn't respect him in any way.
The manhandling that opened up this match, it was not like wrestling moves. He was like literally just picking you up and throwing around like a kid fighting his dad. It was pretty crazy.
It ruled. This was great. And Walter laid out Darby after the match with a big boot, so hopefully we're going to get another match between these two. So I'll be looking forward to that.
Yeah, see, they did that, and then they had Thatcher as like a baby face the next match. It's like, no, these guys are not faces. Like, get out of here.
That's true. I don't know that they were trying to make – I know he was on the babyface team. I'm not sure they were trying to make Thatcher a babyface. I mean, they had him abandon the team at one point. They had him and Henry not really get along.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely an angle to set that up, and, you know, you only have so many bodies. But, yeah, just, you know, people cheering RingConf in general is just, like, alien to me, like –
Yep, sure.
They all remind me of the super drunk girl at a WWN Super Show who's in love with Walter. I'm just like, no, this is taking the wrong course on this one.
Next match, AR Fox against DJZ. Fox wins with the Fox Catcher. This, I thought, started out sort of rough, but once they got going, it was
rough.
A ton of fun.
Nope. Vetoed.
No? You guys disagree?
No, I was vetoing his Leon Ruff pun.
Oh, man. I missed that.
Count yourself lucky, I guess.
No, I just thought it took them a few minutes to get going in this match. It felt like they were waiting for trying to think through the next spots they were going to do. But once they started getting a rhythm together, this was great.
Yeah, I like.
I was going to say, everybody just agrees. Nobody wants to say anything.
You should pick one of us to throw it to first.
Okay, sorry. I just...
No, it's cool. I mean, I'm just going to go first because, I don't know. I like his air horn gimmick. He does DJZ does the air horn gimmick all the time. I liked the beginning. They weren't doing it for like his big flippy spots or anything, but he was doing like these technical lucha transitions around Fox and stuff, and he would be like pointing at the horns like, yeah, check that shit out. That was funny to me.
Jake, what did you think of the match?
I don't remember it at all. I'm going to be honest. Like, wow. It was good. It was probably like 3 stars or something, right? Is that what you would give it, Aaron?
I went 3.5. I really liked it.
Wow.
I'd say 3.5, 4.
Yeah, I was...
I feel like these guys are automatic for 3.5.
I think I was either looking at tracksuits on Amazon and fixing a drink. I think of the two things.
What's the tracksuit thing? What did I miss out on?
Ian Brock Toon on Twitter was talking about shopping for tracksuits. I was like, that's a good idea. I should get a tracksuit. And I was looking at tracksuits.
I've thought a lot about purchasing a Stardom tracksuit.
I've never owned a tracksuit, you know. I just figured that'd be cool. Why don't I own one? It's probably because I don't exercise, but they look comfy.
I feel like you're really making a statement if you go out in a tracksuit. Like, you're really like... announcing, like, hey, I made this decision. Now I'm out here in the tracksuit.
Yeah, you pretty much got to be like on a track team or an Italian mobster. Or a young boy.
I could like buy groceries in a tracksuit, you know?
I don't know. I would feel weird. I mean, I feel weird most of the time when I go out in public, but that would be like super, super like look at me attention. Bottoms match.
I like wouldn't go out to like get drinks or whatever. After like noon, I would not be wearing a tracksuit. But like running errands in the morning on the weekend or whatever, sure, why not?
I guess it depends on the tracksuit. You probably have some understated tracksuits that would not be
just like a classy Adidas tracksuit.
All right.
There was a guy at one of the Ring of Honor New Japan shows in Chicago in the full New Japan tracksuit, which I thought was a little much.
It's a nice looking tracksuit. I like that they gave Harold one when he came on. Like it was like a, you know, when they inducted Brookside into Stardom, the tracksuit, and they did the same thing for Harold Mays, became the president of New Japan. It's like a funny, funny wrestling thing. Here's your tracksuit.
I really loved Harold out holding the picture of Vader for the bell salute.
Yeah.
Like, and he had this really earnest look on his face. I was like, has Harold been up all weekend watching Vader matches on New Japan World?
It was like he's been on the job for like 2 weeks.
Like Vader has been in a coma for the entire length of Harold's tenure with New Japan Pro Wrestling.
And there's no indication he's like a wrestling fan, right?
Oh, no, he is a wrestling fan, or at least claims to be. So it might just be a worker. But yeah, he certainly he said he'd watched Inoki and stuff when he was a kid, and then got back into it with Tanahashi and Nakamura, I think.
Sure.
But then Omega, the New Japan podcast, Omega said, "Oh, he told me that he really liked my match with Kota Ibushi, two or three falls or something, at some DDT show."
You can't trust Kenny though.
Well, no, I believe that Harold told Kenny that because I think that Harold's just a worker, is what I think. He's just like, "Yeah, I'm gonna butter this guy up."
That's fair. He's like, I really liked your match with the doll. That was one of my favorite matches of all time. He would have gotten the name right. I couldn't come up with it in the moment there. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe put Tanahashi in the ring with the Vader picture.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like, you know, he's the ace emeritus.
Can you just see Gabe coming out to the ring if somebody in Evolve died and holding their picture up?
Can we make a joke about how he wouldn't afford a framed picture? It would be like a printout of an 8x10.
That's excellent. And it's also got to be someone who's not there. It's like Ethan Page dies. And Gabe comes out with the...
He got his start here. This is where he made his name.
That's right. Did you guys see Ethan Page burying Evolve on Twitter?
I did not.
I did not. Someone... I saw him... misgendering someone maybe, but I did not see.
He definitely did that, but someone asked him if he would ever go back to Evolve, and he quote tweeted it just to say no. That was it. Strong.
It's too bad. All right. Troll Boys is a strong run.
All right, I'm not getting into that. Okay, let's get to the real main event of Evolve.
Well, we got very serious. You guys can't see Bentley, but on the cam he's like, I'm not getting into the Troll Boys. Not having it.
Okay, time for the real main event. Leon Ruff and Tommy Maserati taking on Liam Gray and Adrian Alanis. Skulk versus Skulk action. This ends with Alanis pinning Ruff after a top rope splash. Leon Ruff is like, put the belt on him.
He was, I like there was one point in the match where he was not in. He was on the apron. He was just jumping as high as he could into the air and like holding on. Just 100% dialed up all the time. The Skulk's awesome.
And then Brandon Tully is like, he walks over and he's like, no, you got to hold the tag rope.
Yeah, you would have liked to see like Leon Ruff like just jump on his head at that point and do a stand on his shoulders. But yeah, this is like where you get the Skulk out there and like Evolve seems weirdly contemporary and current. Just like you have fun young guys going out there and like working their asses off. And like they come out to cool music and you're just like, yeah, Skulk, Evolve, this is cool.
Yeah, that's a great point. This was like the most fresh Evolve has seemed in a long time. Jake, did you think Leon Ruff was the best wrestler on earth by the end of this match?
He's clearly the standout of the Skulk, even like before they get in the ring, right? Like when they're just like managing AR Fox, he's putting in the most work at ringside. And he certainly delivered here, but I mean, all of them were like good, you know, like no one sucked in there. This was a great tag match, and they don't have any tag teams anymore, so maybe they'll run this one back.
Yeah, and between these guys and Austin Theory, you start to think, like, maybe AR Fox is pretty good at this.
Like, can you imagine, like, there would have been a period of time where Austin Theory would have been in the Skulk.
Yeah,
you said that on Twitter, and I can't stop thinking about it, actually.
Yeah, like, if AR Fox came back a year earlier, he would have been out there maybe being charismatic for once.
Oh, yeah, I don't know if Gabe would have pulled the trigger on that. Maybe he was smart enough to be like, you don't really fit the whole vibe of this.
It is a vibe.
Yeah, it's a vibe. I love they all just did just over and over and over again. It's like they're maybe they're heels. Like AR Fox is positioned at the heel against Riddle. I guess it doesn't really matter. But they're like it's the right side of like juvenile silly fun where they're just like way over the top and doing the same thing into ad nauseum. I guess like they're one of my favorite points was Ayla takes DJZ's helmet in the next match or the previous match. Sorry. And she does like DJZ's whole pose with his fingers. And it was like, yes, that's like the extra attention to detail where she's like, I'm just going to be juvenile and like totally cosplay him and do the whole taunt and everything. It's like, yeah, that's perfect. You're like fun, but kind of annoying, but in a good way. I love the Skulk.
Skulk rules. And they came out the next night with, or was it this night, with t-shirts?
Yeah, and they had names on them, which is so smart because we don't know them yet. So it's good to have their names on the back of their shirts.
I posted on Twitter that I needed a Skulk shirt, and one of our loyal listeners responded to say, got to collect them all.
Well, they should have like a little, like a make your own t-shirt kind of gimmick at the show where you can get your own name on the back of a Skulk shirt.
There we go.
That's great stuff. I'm gonna pass that along. I'm gonna DM AR Fox right now.
I hope they just like they keep them together like as a unit, and it doesn't become a thing where they all break off, so that we can get to the point of having matching Skulk tracksuits. I think that's the dream.
I don't know if they asked all of the WWA 4 people to vanity search every member of the Skulk and like the tweets, because I had tons of random people liking just the tweets that I did about Leon Ruff.
Yeah, he was cool. Were they other WWA 4 guys?
I mean, I'm just guessing. I really don't know that. I didn't do any work to discover them. I was just like, okay, these people don't normally like my tweets, and
couldn't even just like hover over the name.
The bio I didn't do that. It's maybe curious during these shows.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe Leon's just a sweetheart, and he has a lot of friends and family that are excited for his success.
He does seem like a sweetheart. Also a straight edge kid. So really knows the way to my heart. Really does. All right. Jarek 120.
Jarek.
John Davis in the Jarek. And the second match on this show, Davis ultimately wins with the powerbomb German suplex lariat combo. I don't know if he's got a name for that, but here's the thing that you're probably realizing. AT is the one who like does all the research and figures out what the names are called or what the moves are called. I don't do that. So I've got powerbomb German lariat combo. Anyway, this match ruled. Jake, I know you're a big John Davis fan.
He was easily one of the standouts of the FIP ACW style battle era of Flow Slam. He definitely got pushed way too hard, way too early in like the first two evolves. So he has that baggage kind of weighing him down. But I don't. Other than the one Kincaid match that seemingly got him like fired for 8 months, this was good.
The his finisher was super cool. That looked very vicious. Whatever it's called.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I don't think it has a name. He used to do 6 seconds around the world or something. This is old finisher, but
nice. Yeah, it was like I was excited to see him come out. I haven't seen a ton of him, mostly the stuff that he's done in Evolve, but I did see him take on JD Drake. And I think that was in FIP. All I know is I buried James Drake on like the first time he came on Evolve, and then he DM'd me matches of his to watch.
Are you supposed
to have that? And all the ones he sent me were really good, and so I've been a fan of his ever since.
You might be violating journalist worker confidentiality there, just outing him.
Well, I guess I'm more outing that I'm absolutely co-opted by by the real JD Drake. But anyway, yeah, this was cool. I guess the most interesting thing to me about this was that this was absolutely Jarek's best match ever in this promotion.
Easily.
And I thought John Davis really carried him along in this match.
I thought the match was like pretty fine. I thought Jarek did some nice stuff. I kind of liked Jarek's selling. Also, like there was that one move where he like whiplashed the dude against the ropes, and then like right after just followed it up with a neck breaker, and I just really liked how the one move followed logically from the other. So it looked like Goose taking advantage of the moment to do that. I don't like his mask. I'm against his mask. The straight jacket is fine. I like the orange color on his gear, but not with the mask. Is his new thing like he's a like Jordan B. Peterson inspiration kind of snake oil guy? Because his whole promo at the beginning is about, I'm inspiring. I'm the inspiration of Evolve. That was weird, right?
I think that's just what he is, man.
I didn't pay attention to the promo at all. I like the straight jacket look. I don't know. I feel like his gear gets better every time he comes back to Evolve.
His gear is good.
It looks more professional every time he shows up.
It's got a unique theme to it between his two. He's got different colors for it. I like the gear. But I just don't remember him previously being like, I'm here to inspire you. I'm the most inspirational person involved. It was a lot like of, you know, weird self-help sort of YouTube adjacent kind of thing that you would expect from him. It was just fresh and kind of surprising to me.
Yeah, if you watch his or the mini doc that they did recently where he was kind of coming at Darby, that's kind of what he's trying to do right now, is like, you people all like Darby, but you know, he sucks. I'm okay. Actually a successful person.
I may have just missed that mini doc entirely. It's kind of odd that they had him lose here before his big match with Darby, right?
Yeah, I don't really know. I don't really understand what's going on with him, especially like losing to John Davis, who's not really a big part of this promotion. And then, of course, he loses to Darby the next night. So kind of makes you wonder if they have any plans for him.
Yeah, I would have thought they gave him the whole mini doc. It was a curious choice. I understand they wanted to establish or reestablish John Davis on his return here. But yeah, it did. You know, someone like me who has dipped in and out of WWE and stuff, it's weird to see John Davis, who was like maybe not pushed credibly in FIP or whatever, comes back here, beats this, you know, more fresh guy that you're trying to elevate for a big match the next night. I don't know. It didn't seem to do Cherik any favors, I don't think.
I want to retract my take from earlier about it's not that – I guess I shouldn't say that John Davis carried him through this match. It's more that this is the first time we've really gotten a chance, other than the next night, to see Jarek in the ring with like a smooth, seasoned performer. So many of his matches in this promotion are against, you know, were against the other preliminary type talents, and especially a lot against several times against Jason Kincaid, who I just don't care for at all. So maybe, you know, it's just he got to be in there with someone who could help him show off a little more.
Yeah, I thought the work was pretty good.
I the magician thing doesn't translate to the in-ring at all, in Evolve at least. Like, I've seen him, Jarek, work like Beyond and CZW and a couple other places, and he does like a lot of comedy magic spots, like a telekinetic choke slam, or like, you know, producing a quarter from behind someone's ear to distract them and then like punching them in the mouth, stuff like that. I get why they don't do that in Evolve, because it's not that kind of promotion. But I don't know. There's a weird, just like, why is he a magician that wrestles?
It's like almost that kind of promotion. If Joey Janela is on top of it, though, it's like halfway to that sort of promotion.
I'm hoping to ask him about that. Very soon.
Do tell.
I will. We'll get to that. Oh, I think I just pulled up his cage match. I think it's interesting that he doesn't work anywhere else right now.
It works on his YouTube.
He's been focusing on the magic. Yeah. He's got like a million subscribers. He's a big deal. He's bigger than this show. Like, he's doing you a favor.
That's wrong.
That's absolutely true.
He honestly hasn't worked that many matches total. I mean, I'm sure that Cage Match is missing some of his matches. But like the first page, if you scroll the way down, you're in 2010.
Yeah, you should find his Reddit account. He probably has links to his matches on there, because
I have gone through his Reddit account. Like, when he first became a thing, I found his Reddit account and looked through lots of posts trying to find something funny.
Yeah, and I kind of think I actually like Jarek.
Ooh,
not like
I like, you know, Jarek.
Yeah,
I've never not liked Jarek.
I mean, you know, Jarek's like Jarek meme, but I did the Reddit was like, not, you sort of expect to be off-putting, but it seemed very genuine.
Oh yeah,
that's sort of what I just look for, is like authenticness and sincerity and genuineness in wrestlers now. It's like most of what I'm invested in.
Yeah, I mean, I liked him personally when we took that great selfie at in New Orleans.
Yeah.
But that was cool. And it, you know, unfortunately, I missed the magic trick, but that seemed cool.
Yeah, magic trick was dope.
Did you guys know that he wrestled Braun Strowman?
Yeah, he was on. He was one of the jobbers to Braun.
Hmm. I hadn't put that together yet.
I believe when Kara found or started doing the deep dive on Jarek, I think I went and found that on YouTube or on something of the. His name was not Jarek, or something else, but
yeah, it was Chase Silver.
There you go.
It's a good jobber name.
It is a good jobber name. All right, that's enough Jarek talk for now. The opener on this show, Bad Bones, taking on Josh Briggs. Briggs wins with the M5. I do want to correct that I said on the first show that Bad Bones was making his Evolve debut, which was patently false, and I apologize to everyone I let down with that. I thought this match was pretty good. Like, I think the booking is weird and that, like, Briggs should have probably just destroyed Bad Bones. Because that's kind of what it seems like they've been trying to do with him. But instead, we got like a 50-50 match that turned out to be a cool match. Briggs is still pretty raw, I think. But I can see that he's got something.
Yeah, I mean, I get not doing a squash because Bad Bones is like a named guy.
Sure.
You know, it's not like he's Bishop King or somebody where they're bringing him in to be the enhancement talent. He's like, you know, a WXW champion or former one. So. Yeah, I don't know. When was he previously in Evolve?
Evolve 70-something.
Hmm. Okay.
I don't remember that at all.
Well, that's what Lenny said on commentary.
Huh.
He would know.
Quite a
exact. When he said that, I was like, oh, yikes.
His jeans are, like, overwhelming.
Yeah, what did you think about that aesthetic?
Kind of, like, suffocating. It's, like, getting every free square inch of space on his jeans had something going on.
What about the Anarchy sign tattoo?
Didn't notice that tattoo so much. I mean, I just that sort of. I know you're a tattoo guy. I just sort of glaze over and just
a tattoo on the back of his neck, a huge red tattoo.
As long as it's not like a hate symbol, then it's just all sort of the same to me.
He worked the dark match at Evolve 71 against Billy Barboza.
Okay.
It's weird to me that you would get like this guy, like this international wrestler in town for like one weekend only.
And he's
in a dark match, especially given how.
Well, he used to work Impact and stuff, so maybe he was in the States.
I didn't know he worked Impact. It does. It seems like he's in a weird spot on both these cards. I don't know. Yeah. I don't watch WXW. I know that it's well regarded, and they obviously have some other major league talent. But it's where he was not positioned like a guy you're supposed to regard as a top flight import or anything.
Well, longtime Evolve Pod fan Chelsea Cathcart told me that he does not work WXW anymore.
Yeah, so he was like publicly fired from WXW.
Yeah.
Last year,
or we didn't know if it was problematic, or it might also be a work because like the whole Dragunov thing was a work, right? So I don't know. I don't follow the promotion.
Well, he could be problematic because I know that on Thursday night he worked IWA Mid South.
There you go.
So anyway,
yeah, but you go to those sometimes.
I do go to those sometimes, but I'm also problematic. So I guess
leftist cred takes a shot.
Yeah, I really appreciate that.
You tweet about it publicly. It's not like I'm.
I know. I haven't gone in a while. I haven't gone since like the Michael Elgin thing. And I just don't know.
Yeah, you can plug John Davis into all Michael Elgin's spots. I know. I think
Token's
supposed to pass, but why not?
Yeah, including in New Japan.
I think they're doing that with Jeff Cobb, actually.
Just I don't really like Jeff Cobb.
Jeff Cobb is. I don't think anybody like in our circle like rates him particularly high.
Yeah.
I think he must just be presented pretty well on Lucha Underground or whatever, because he's always pretty over wherever he goes.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of that. So.
I usually like him when I see him, but he's not like a dream. Like I don't want to see him in a main event, I guess. Like, he's not, like, that guy to me. But I usually enjoy him when I see him. He's just not, like, a draw for me at all.
But he worked Suzuki in New Orleans, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a weird match.
Yeah, that sucked.
I'm not going to say it sucked. It's just
it was fine.
That's not the one I would have booked for either guy.
Yeah, I did not have high expectations going on.
Strange stylistic matchup. I would like Jeff Cobb more if he dropped, like, 40 pounds.
Whoa.
If he got, like, down to, like, his
old...
Body
shaming.
If he got down to, like, old...
No,
it's either... his old wrestling weight and could do more, like, amateur stuff in the ring, I think that would be a lot cooler.
Okay, how about either drop 40 pounds or gain 80 pounds?
I really didn't expect Hogan to body shame on this episode.
It's not body shame. I didn't say he looked bad. I just think his wrestling would be more exciting and mobile, and he would do something no one else does. Like, there's plenty of strong guys out there.
Yeah. When I first saw him in PWG, like, that was my first time getting to look at him. I was like, oh, this guy rules. And then it just kind of went. But not that it went downhill. It just plateaued from there.
He seemed to get, like, a huge rub off of whatever – PWG preview had him, like, doing 12 seconds of amateur wrestling against Riddle, and then he got, yeah, like, that Riddle match in a lot of places, and it was never particularly interesting whenever it happened.
Yeah, the AAW one was a dud. I guess the Progress one was regarded as, like, their best match ever for about 12 minutes, but, you know, Progress.
Speaking of people who aren't particularly interesting, the dark main event of Evolve 107... Adam Cole defeats Walter. I know none of us have seen this match since we weren't there live. But, Jake, do you have any thoughts on, you know, them using Adam Cole in this way, Walter jobbing to Adam Cole, anything like that?
I will say I'm glad that Brian did the preview show and not us, because I might have said, I think Walter might win. And then I was like, but thankfully, I only said that in DMs, so I don't have to own that anywhere.
I mean, you just said it on the show.
Didn't happen.
Yeah, I don't know. Nate, any thoughts on Adam Cole in Evolve?
He seemed to draw a lot of people, so can't be mad at that.
Sure. I was just, like, excited when he went to NXT, so I wouldn't have to watch him ever again. And
I think I haven't watched him since he went to NXT, and I checked out when he became, like, the New Japan Bullet Club guy, but I think I still kind of like him. It's in the abstract, like, not watching his matches or anything, just like he was.
You have some of the weirdest, like, ways of whether you like wrestlers or not. Like, their wrestling doesn't seem to factor in at all.
I like Adam Cole. Like, I hate him as, like, a cool guy, but if he's just, like, an annoying dickhead that, like, you know, eats shit or whatever by a superior wrestler, you know, that's fine. But, like, him is like a champ, does nothing for me.
See, he's like he's positioned, or he's best as, like, a smarmy guy who thinks he's cool, and the heel stuff is supposed to be where he thinks he's cool, but you actually hate him. You know, like, right, when he was, like, on top of the Kingdom, that was, like, ideal. That's, like, ideal Adam Cole there.
But, like, everyone thinks he's cool.
Right. So the NXT fans just think he's genuinely cool, I think. So that's where you get the dissonance.
I would say, as a dark main event, so you don't actually have to watch him, but you still get the benefits of his fans there making a lot of noise the whole show, perfect spot for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just boggles my mind that he's so popular. I just cannot begin to understand it.
He was the most charismatic guy. Like, he has a presence and attitude that other people on the indies never had. I don't know how it's translated in NXT, but it always seemed like he was meant for the WWE anyway, just because of his level of personality, I suppose. So I get how that could make him popular where he is now. That computes to me.
He's a great promo. I mean, always delivered in ROH.
He's just, like, not good at wrestling. And
so you're very high up on the wrestling thing.
But, like, right? Wrestling, that's, like, the least important part of...
I know. Somebody was saying wrestling. That. Some people were talking about that on Twitter recently, about, like, people thinking that how well you work has anything to do with, like, your popularity. And I guess
it does. It can.
It's you a can fact. Guess. Yeah. You think about, like, Hulk Hogan or, you know,
but yeah,
any of, like, the biggest stars of all time.
Yeah. Matters. I'm post work right now, except I just did a whole thing about Joey Janela not having the best work rate for this promotion.
I hate Adam Cole's look.
Oh no, this is it's a good look for his character.
If he were not supposed to be cool, he's like,
I don't know that he is supposed to be
looks
cool.
Shitty. Like
people say he was the heel, or they were complaining about how Chicago cheered him when they were supposed to boo him because he's supposed to be the heel. I think he's supposed to be the smarmy cool guy who's not actually cool and is just an asshole. That's what I think. But,
yeah, again, but if the fans think you're large, cool, then you're cool.
Like, yeah, if
but
you get in front of an audience that's too large, then you miss the subtlety of that intent.
If you're funny long enough, you become a baby face. That's just
right.
That's how it is. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I just like truly cannot stand the guy. And so it hurts me personally that he's so popular.
But like, we didn't actually have to watch him wrestle this weekend. We've been talking about it for like 5 minutes.
Yeah. So I guess Evolve and he are very smart.
Yeah. He's not anywhere near my list of like great injustices of who's not, or who's too popular, who's not popular enough. He's like, I'm fine with where he is. Like, most popular guy in NXT is like, what is that really?
That's true. I guess I'm glad at least he's not on these shows that I have to watch every month. So I got that going for me.
Like, when he gets called up to Raw and debuts in Moline, it's going to be like,
I'll never see him again.
70% people who have not heard of him. So
we're missing Raw right now.
Missing what?
On TV.
I'm sorry, what?
What city are they in?
Gives a shit.
All right. The Evolve Championship match. Matt Riddle defeated AR Fox. I was stopped while Riddle was striking AR Fox. I guess my biggest question on this one, I'll go to you first, Jake. Did you ever think AR Fox could win the match?
No, not once.
Did that hurt your enjoyment of the match?
Not at all.
Excellent.
That doesn't matter. Like, I realize it's a factor for a lot of people. Like, if they can make me believe, that's cool. But I don't know. I feel like I have a pretty level head going into matches about what is and is not possible. So it doesn't. If I'd been spoiled, I wouldn't have cared going into this one, because AR Fox is just on this weekend, especially, just on another level of being entertaining. He worked barefoot.
He was great in this match. Like, went completely with like the amateur wrestling type style to begin. It just showed off how versatile he is.
And also more importantly, doing that and also losing every single exchange.
Yes. Yes. He's just so good. It's like, I wasn't a huge AR Fox fan before this run back in Evolve. Like, I always kind of love him his first couple of matches, and I'm like, oh yeah, he kind of does the same thing. But right. I feel like he's gotten to a new level.
It feels like a fully fleshed out act at this point.
Yeah.
Like, even if the Skulk wasn't there, like, Ayla is fantastic, and I don't know. It's just like, it's like a party every time he gets in the ring. It's like what Matt Riddle thinks he is.
That's exactly what it is. I was bummed to see Riddle kick out of the Foxcatcher when no one had done that. Perhaps this is what it was built for, though.
I bought the Foxcatcher false finish, so that's my answer.
So it was a 450. I guess it was the second 450, which I think Riddle rolled out of the ring for.
That was
the time I thought he might actually. And then when he went out of the ring, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, the rollout was very clumsy. It was like Fox definitely had an opportunity to get him for the pin, and Riddle like rolled the long way out of the ring. Yeah, that was a little goofy. Yeah,
I thought that hurt the match a little bit. But that was the only part, really, that wasn't really good in this match.
And not to take anything away from Riddle either, who brought not the full level of the violence that he had against Ospreay, but especially down the stretch, was a killer, you know? Press the attack.
Yeah. That's the thing. It's like, as much as I talk negatively about Riddle, his ring work, at least of late, is always pretty good. It's just that I'm never invested in Riddle.
Yeah, his matches almost always deliver, but they're not to my liking, mostly in terms of his offense. He's sort of like the Shane Strickland match the night before. Like, Strickland has all the cool signature spots that look really good, whereas Riddle is like a good wrestler, but all of his signature spots and offense looks like kind of soft, and you're not that impressed by it.
So he didn't do the tombstone in this match, which was fantastic, because his tombstone's terrible.
He didn't do it against Strickland either.
Okay. Yeah. So he's learning.
Maybe he's phasing that out. He does that, like the jump to the corner with the forearms, but there's like no range of motion on the forearms. So he's just, he kind of looks like he's tapping him on the cheek.
I hate that upkick spot he does.
Oh, that's awful.
Oh, it drives me insane.
Yeah, but he's like, I don't know, he's, I guess, super over. People are with it.
Yeah. Which I get a lot more than I get Adam Cole, but I like that he's finishing matches with strikes with some regularity. I think that's a cool little point.
If he's going to be the MMA guy, he should actually like do MMA.
Remember when he was like the MMA guy and like wouldn't even go on Irish whips and stuff? That seems like an eternity ago.
Yeah.
When he had the short hair.
Yeah. Yeah. So here's my complaint about this. Okay. So this is sort of my thing about the whole brand not being in sync here is you have the Skulk out there, you have Aaron Fox, and then like on commentary is Ron Niemi, and he's like, oh, they're getting ready to pop the crystal at ringside. And during the four-way that we'll discuss, Lenny Leonard was like, he should try out for Wicked because he's defying gravity or something. And it's like these, like at least Moro's references are like, you can tell he reads r/black Twitter because his references are like too current. Like Lenny are like, okay, I can hear your khakis on the commentary here, guys. So I really, this does not fit with the Skulk. This does not fit Saeed Al-Sabah. Like, we gotta tighten that all up so it all comes together.
Yeah, Ron Niemi just does not fit at all in this promotion. Lenny Leonard, I think, is the best.
Lenny's so good solo. I don't, unless he's like phasing out and retiring or something, I have no idea why you would give him a color guy.
I don't know. He showed up during the Flow Slam era and then just never left. I don't know.
Every time I see him, I'm reminded of maybe it was Taub. Taub did a whole thing on him being demonstrably horny on commentary, right?
Yes.
That's what I think of every time I see him now, which is, you know, that's a tried and true character type in wrestling is the demonstrably horny commentator. I don't know why.
I got to say, he made it through an entire match.
Yeah, no, he didn't do any of it.
Melvin Ford and Priscilla Kelly and didn't say anything horny, so.
Yeah, no, they've certainly seem to have eliminated that, but I still think of that every time I see the guy.
Well, also Evolve has toned down the horny, right? Like, Priscilla Kelly used to be just like the evil seductress, and that was like the only woman on the show.
Right. Yeah, she was full.
And now they've got, you know, Ayla, who is not that at all, is Aaron Fox's loving and supportive wife, and Penelope Ford, who's, you know, doing high spots and taking people out. It's certainly not women wrestling on the card, but it's better than it was 8 months ago.
Yeah, still the only women on the show accompany men to the ring.
Yes, they're still just sexy valets. But
why doesn't Evolve have a women's promotion?
Somebody call Ryan
Satin. They've got, you know, Shine.
They have Shine, yeah.
Yeah, which they terrible. Could. And they has its own problems.
Well, sure. They could ostensibly build to a Priscilla Kelly, Penelope Ford match in Evolve proper.
I thought they were building to it because they're doing a double bill with Shine at like New York, right? I thought they were going to build to that.
That's probably more likely. But I mean, I'm not like dying for women's wrestling in Evolve, but I'm not against it. It would be cool.
Priscilla was fully China here. Like she just had like literal old China gear on. Also, she's like, I don't know, she seemed like pretty ripped and tough now. I don't know if she was always that and I didn't notice her.
She's always been like super fit.
Yeah.
And like, not muscular, but like, looks like she does some weight training for sure. Is this weird?
No. Well, maybe this shit. I really jumped on that no so fast.
I just got done talking about Jeff Cobb's body. So
I was just, you know, she's like very cool approaching China-ness of like her black gear, black hair, and she's fucking ripped. So
cool. Well, she's trying China to get to the Fed.
China kicked
ass.
She's
trying to get to the Fed. She doesn't want Austin Theory to leave her behind. So. Look like China, I think it's a pretty good career path.
There you go.
Well, not really.
I mean, if you want Triple H to sign you.
Did you see what they did to China?
I just mean if you want Triple H to be interested in you and sign you. All right, I guess
let's
now
move on.
I made
it weird. Okay,
excellent. Yeah. All right. After this...
I want to interject here. The no rope breaks thing for Riddle, it's like... I don't know if you've mentioned this before, but it's totally like a whiny heel thing, right?
Do you listen to the show?
I do, but like, you know, I'm driving, I'm working, I'm doing other things, so
wow.
Wow. I don't like remember every detail, but
he just wants to hear the nice sound of your voice.
Only we did this instead, and it's like his thing. I don't know. It's stupid.
I'm into it. I like it. I think it.
I don't.
They've
mind.
Done a good job, like building things to it.
And they usually use it well in the matches, but I just feel like him having his own gimmick match because he lost one time, but totally wouldn't have if we were doing things my way instead, is like a total heel thing.
Oh yeah, we've been saying like for the entire run of the show that Riddle's a heel, and I couldn't agree more.
I like him as so like with when Sabre's the champ, right? He's your guy. You want him to win. That's why you're invested. I kind of like Riddle as like the wall that everyone like runs into.
As the guy
I'm not that invested in, but his challengers are so colorful and interesting that it doesn't matter.
The Okada.
I wasn't going to make that comparison, but...
The Okada.
Yeah, I think it makes sense at this point, based on everyone they have here, for Riddle to be the champion. He's like definitely the biggest star in the promotion and one of the better workers. So I like it. I don't get fired up about him, but a lot of people do. People come out to see him. People get excited when he comes out. So hard for me to argue with.
I think having four different rule sets on one show is a lot. Because you have the standard evolve rules, which they just changed. Then they had the catch point rules, which were the old pure title rules. Is that right?
Yep.
Yes.
And then you had the FIP rules, and then you had the Matt Riddle rules. That's a lot.
Yeah, but the FIP rules are... There are no rules.
That's okay. That's still a different rule set.
Hashtag F yeah, FIP.
I do think when they do the FIP matches, Timothy Barr should do his terrible
dance. He should swear.
Yeah. He should swear. He should insult, you know, injured wrestlers and all that shit.
Oh, Timothy Barr. I'm not going to bury him on this.
I like him as a ring announcer. I don't know. Like, he's got a decent voice, decent gravitas. He's usually pretty quick with working with whatever's going on in the building, even if I don't think he's actually like funny, but he's quick.
No, he's not funny.
I like he's that. Like,
the FIP ring announcer gimmick was funny. Not, yeah, it was great.
Oh, I didn't watch any FIP. I'm not going to lie to you.
He was awful. And it's very funny to see this Timothy Barr do his wipe the boots thing before getting into do the ring announcements when, like, an FIP, he was like, yeah, fucking Shibata got his head knocked off. All these matches were 6 stars. It's like terrible hacky shit.
Doing ring announcing in a poison t-shirt.
Okay, well, I'm sorry I missed that. Speaking of different rule sets, gentlemen, in a catch point rules match, we got kind of Tracy Williams versus Chris Dickinson. Apparently, Tracy lost because he used his used closed fist too much, and it was like a 5-second match.
Yeah. So here's another thing on my Tracy is the heel in this feud. Like, they're under catch point rules, and he immediately gets himself disqualified by breaking the catch point rules. It's like, dude, you were not catch point at all. Like, obviously, you were not cut out for catch point if you can't follow the catch point rules. Like, your whole leadership of Catchpoint was like, I think maybe about you being exposed as a phony anyway. So this is just underscoring that. So yeah, Catchpoint is better off without him. I get the storytelling or like, you know, the broad sort of healing they were doing, or not healing, the broad sort of, I guess, storytelling where he was getting cheap shots in on Dickinson by punching him with a closed fist. But it's kind of dumb when you have a whole show with people who are ostensibly throwing closed fists and they're not like knocking guys off their feet like they were doing to Dickinson here.
Yeah, it does make Dickinson look like a geek for sure.
It was silly. It's like, oh, a superpowered punch because now punches are illegal, therefore they hurt more. That was very, very pro wrestling sort of nonsensical thing.
Yeah, and it sucks because, like, I love Chris Dickinson, and I think he should be a bigger star in this promotion, and instead he's looking like a geek.
Dickinson looked pretty cool when he was just kicking the shit out of him, though. He really laid in all of those kicks. Yeah, that was good. I was like, yeah, he's getting his revenge on his shitty old boss, Tracy Williams, the baby face.
So after this ends, Tracy goes after Stokely. Dickinson then attacks Tracy. We get the rest of Catch Point out. They kind of get the upper hand, and then they hold Tracy down so Stokely can punch him, which he does repeatedly. But then we get Josh Briggs out earlier in the show, which we'll get to in due time. Stokely offered Josh Briggs a catch point contract. He didn't say yes. He didn't say no. He just kind of left. And so we get the will he or won't he moment. But of course, he attacks catch point and saves Tracy there. And so he's, you know, clearly not going to be joining their ranks. So what did you guys think about this use of Josh Briggs? Jake?
He's over. I mean, I think this angle is not good. Well, just because, like, Tracy hasn't done anything to earn redemption. Like, he got betrayed, but, like, Stokely rules. Come on. So Josh Briggs is out here laying everyone out. And to be fair, they are in front of probably a large Beyond crowd where he works a lot and is pushed. So that helps. But it was a good beatdown.
Yeah, it did get a really big reaction for whatever reason. So
everyone loves tearing up contracts.
Okay. And they did, yeah, the tear it up chant. That was kind of fun. That's a fun sort of burn it down thing, I guess. You know what they did? Did we talk about the Austin Theory angle after the main event?
No, I was then making myself a note to make sure I covered that at some
okay.
point.
So I was going to
skipped over it.
They did a really good job. I'll give them credit on this. They did. They set up two future matches for this venue or for this town between this angle and the main event angle, which is good when you have probably a bunch of first-time Adam Cole fans there. Be like, hey, here's the angle. You can see the match when we come back. I thought that was good.
Yeah, that was great. That was very smart. Yeah, I'll just do it now. After the main event, we got Theory coming out. He attacked Matt Riddle. AR Fox is doing the, hey, you know, you're supposed to be one of us. You're not really supposed to do this type of thing, which is kind of weird, but I guess it made sense. Priscilla kind of touches Ayla, and Ayla gets very pissed off.
Hey, that was great there.
Really wanted to see Ayla and Priscilla go at it. And then once that's all cleared up, Riddle cuts, you know, his normal dumb babyface promo that referenced earlier. The only fun part was when the Skulk put bandanas on Riddle, but then he did a dumb dance and ruined it. But yeah, so they announced that they're going to do Riddle versus Theory at the next Melrose show, which is going to be on the Evolve Progress Tour on August 5. That's it. Wanted to make sure I covered that. Okay.
It got a very good, like, classic Austin sucks chant, which is like,
yeah, that was great.
Yeah, you got the desired reaction. That was good.
Yeah, and Theory did a better job. We're going to talk about him in just a few minutes, but he did a better job on the mic on this show, so I was happy for him. So the next match, we get Saeed Al-Sabah versus John Davis versus Bad Bones versus Jaka. I really was worried we were going to get another Earl Cooter match here. Al-Sabah wins with like a blockbuster type move. I don't know. You don't come here for me to describe the matches to you, I suppose. They announced after the show that they have signed Saeed Al-Sabah, and so he gets the big win here to establish him. And he was also just great in this match.
Yeah, he was really cool. He had like four layers on of clothing.
Yeah, what was that about?
I don't know. It seemed to work for him, though.
It stood out. I mean, he's also in this match with Bad Bones, who, as we mentioned earlier, is wearing a whole lot of jeans.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really. But like the whole time, all I can think about is like, you must be dying in there, because you could tell how hot it was. Everybody was sweating profusely.
The fire alarm went off.
Sure. Yes.
But, yeah, Saeed was really fresh, and he had some unique spots that were really fresh, and he had fresh music, and he was cool. It's a good move, I think. They gave him a big win here, too.
Yeah, his entrance music was great. I hope that it's like, I don't know what it is, but I liked it, and I'd like to hear it again.
Yeah, and I tried to Shazam it. Didn't work.
Yeah, it was very good. This is cool. It makes me think, and I always think, like, Gabe's going to do one thing, and he does something completely different, but this show does start to make you think. And then when you add last month, even though they didn't bring these guys back, but you guys like Myron Reed and Trey Miguel, maybe they're going to go to a younger, more athletic type for at least part of the show.
Yeah, that's why Bad Bones kind of felt like he's from a different era. He seemed like, like Perry Saturn with like a mid-2000s coat of paint on him or something. Which maybe, you know, it might just be a thing like you can't be – American wrestling can't be too cool, because most of the wrestling fans in America aren't cool. So you have to have people like Bad Bones.
Yeah, I mean, that's a fair take. It's true.
Yeah, you can't have Saeed Al-Sabah all the way up and down the card, I guess, is my the thrust of what I'm saying. So they got some variety.
He was cool. I liked him. I'm looking forward to, I'd literally never heard of him. I guess he worked ACW. So, Jake, you had clearly seen him many times before.
Sure. Like, I don't remember anyone from ACW. Like, there's Perot or whatever. And then there's, like, a fat guy who dresses kind of like Sub-Zero. those are the only two people that I remember.
Excellent.
I looked at his Twitter because we looked up his Twitter, which is like the next day. And I think he said he's only been wrestling for 20 months or something.
Oh, wow.
High level Twitter game as well.
Yeah.
How do you
keeping kayfabe on Twitter, by which I mean tweeting in his authentic character voice of himself, which is very important.
I mean, is there any way to do the capitalize every word other than just to type it out that way?
No, and you've got to be on a keyboard too, right? Because you can't do that on a phone. That's a pain in the ass on a phone.
Oh, God. Yeah, that'd be miserable. So he's like Thoros. He only uses Twitter from his desktop.
Is that a Thoros thing? Is that true about Thoros, really?
Yeah.
He's got a phone. He plays Bang Dream.
Yeah, but he pretty much only uses Twitter on the web client.
Really?
Yeah.
That's why he's always so late to my takes. The only person later than Thoros to my takes is Graz. Graz, man, you got to catch up on the West Coast out there.
He's got weird work hours too. So
I do like I'll scroll through Twitter, like hours later, and I just like stuff, even if it's like 8 hours ago. I'm still gonna smash that like button.
That's what Tab does. Since Tab's been out canvassing,
Tab will go through and like 10 posts in a row.
Hey, he's a good friend.
I asked him if he's busy. We're filling his seats here on the show.
Right.
If there's a statement he wanted to prepare for me to read or whatever.
Oh, wow. Like, yeah,
write something for you. It's like 2 days ago, I got nothing. So.
Damn.
I don't know. Get out and vote, people.
Yeah, I'm happy to say that by filling in for Tab here, I am actually doing leftist organizing by enabling him to being out actually doing it for real.
Yeah. I felt kind of guilty in that, like, maybe I should at least do phone calls or something.
Yeah, well, he did guilt us pretty hard.
Yeah, but it's like, I don't know the district. I don't know the issues in this district. I mean, somebody's going to get me on the phone, and they're going to be like, you sound like you're not from here. Like, I have an extremely Kentucky-ass voice. I mean,
this is why capitalism is good, is we can just give money to the campaign in place of time or effort or care or love. Just give money to Alexandria Ocasio. I'm not going to say anything. Who knows about election law? I don't.
Yeah, I don't know anything about it. All right. Speaking
a podcast
of
subject to like FEC violations or whatever, like is that a thing we need to worry about?
God, I don't know. Do
we need to give equal time to Joe Crowley?
Yes, I think we do. I'm gonna have Al Giordano on the show to talk about why Joe Crowley is good. Yes.
I'm not gonna say it.
Yeah, no, we all know. Did Peter Dow turn face? It seemed like he turned face.
No, come on.
You can say
good things now, but let's see what happens in 2020.
He made like four good tweets. That's pretty.
We've all made four good tweets.
Okay? Speak for yourself, Oat. I only make bad tweets. Okay. Speaking of all of that. FIP Championship match, Austin Theory versus DJZ is the announced match. But Austin Theory has a promo before the match. He says Joey Janela, who beat him the night before, has no future in wrestling, while Austin Theory has the WWE title in his future.
Where's the lie?
Where's the lie? Yeah. This was my favorite part. But as long as I'm FIP champion, I'm the face of WWN. And no one is going to take the FIP title from him. So, of course, Joey Janela's music hits. Comes out and challenges Theory to put the FIP title on the line in a three-way. And Theory accepts by saying, you want this title, you indie piece of trash, which I enjoy. So then we get this match. Ultimately, Austin Theory retains. He rolls up Janela after Janela hit DJZ with a super brainbuster. Very strange finish.
Yeah, they totally worked me into thinking that Theory was going to lose his belt here. And he was on his way out because with hot-shotting Joey back into the match there, that just seemed like something you only do if you're trying to accommodate for scheduling or not having talent or whatever the case may be. Because, it seems like Theory is eventually NXT bound. I don't know.
Yeah, but they don't really they don't sign guys that young.
Oh, hey, here, DJZ, 16th entrant in the Battle of Los Angeles.
Oh, nice. Good for DJZ.
Very good for DJZ. I said this to someone the other night, but PWG is where you become an indie star. Like, Evolve, you can maintain your star level, but Austin Theory is not going to be a star in Evolve. You have to be in PWG.
The pipeline is a myth.
Yeah. So, you know, if Gabe wants to hold on to Austin Theory because he thinks he can make him a star first and make some money with him and then have him be a name signing to NXT instead of a line item signing, then you got to get him into Bola, man.
That's I think you're right that like getting in Bola or getting regular PWG bookings is a bigger sign that you're a star. But there is something to having there's something to that relationship between Evolve and NXT, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it gets you looked at.
Yeah, I would say who is an Evolve guy? Like, that made it to NXT that's not, like, a PWG guy.
I don't know. I'd really have to think about this. I mean, Shane Mercer got booked on NXT.
But, you know, I don't doubt that there might be a pipeline where you might get a tryout in NXT and might get signed to a minimum wage contract at NXT to learn how to wrestle. You can probably do that through Evolve. But if you want to be a name Ricochet, Adam Cole signing, you have to go through PWG. That's what I think.
Yeah, I don't. Is PWG as hot as it was like 2 years ago?
I think not among our circle, but it's still PWG is still a big deal.
Okay, yeah, because it's not a big deal to me at this point, but right. Obviously that doesn't mean
yeah,
anything,
like I would if I lived like near LA or could go to the shows, I'd be at every single one. But like I don't buy DVDs anymore.
I couldn't tell you the last show theirs that I watched, to be honest.
I'm interested in seeing the new venue. I might check out Bola this year. But
yeah.
I'm still very interested in the previews. So that's, you know, you don't need to see the whole show.
I think they're going to book something that'll be cool with PCO that I'll probably want to check out. But yeah. I don't know.
There's I need to see wrestling live, I guess. Like, taped doesn't do anything for me.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
You watch tons of tape wrestling, Jake.
Like what?
I don't know. You always seem to be watching something that's on.
I don't
watch. You're just at these shows, and I don't realize it.
No, I usually only watch wrestling live, or like with a group of. If I can organize like a group watch, that's fine. But
when you say live, are you saying in person?
No.
In person is great, but no, I need an iPay per view or something.
Okay, sorry, I was very confused. I was very confused. I apologize, everyone.
No, I'm the same way. Taped wrestling is very inert to me.
Can't put the genie back in the bottle, you know?
Yeah, but I don't know. I guess most of what I watch is like Japanese indies, so I have really no choice.
Right.
Yeah, that's why TJPW is better than Stardom.
I still haven't made it. I still haven't watched more than like one match of Tokyo Joshi Pro because it comes on too late, man.
And it comes on at the only time is reasonable for live Japanese wrestling.
Well, I know, but I'm...
Yeah, it usually starts at, like, 10 p.m.
Yeah, very reasonable.
No, it came on at, like, midnight last time, didn't it?
We're in different time zones.
That's true. You're right. Came on at 10 for me, or 12 for me. Okay. Speaking of Tokyo Joshi Pro, Anthony Henry. Timothy Thatcher. Henry ultimately wins with a leg submission. I buried this on Twitter before it started, and it turned out to be awesome. They lost it for me a little bit at the end because Henry is going after the leg and it looks like he has the leg mostly destroyed, but then he kind of gives up on it and starts doing ankle locks, which I thought was weird. It really had a chance, I thought, to turn this into an excellent match, but it kind of went downhill a little bit at the end.
When he first applied the finishing ankle lock, he started to put it on the wrong leg.
Oh,
yeah. That rule.
Hey, sorry, this is obnoxious to do because everyone that will hear this will hear this later. T-Hawk is the 18th entrant in the Battle of Los Angeles.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
There you go.
He might be over now.
Mike Spears should enjoy that, man. Maybe we'll get Shima in there. Yeah, so this Anthony Henry match I thought was awesome. These are like sort of – this is like a quintessential Evolve match to me, I think. I enjoyed it at one point. They looked like they were trading intensity facials, like trying to one-up each other with how intense they could look. And I also owe him a huge mark for the figure four on the ring post spot that Bret Hart used to do. That gets me every single time. And they really had the crowd, I thought, all the way through this. Like, when Anthony Henry added the grapevine on the ankle lock, the crowd actually popped for it, which is like, hey, they're invested in paying attention to the match. So yeah, this was a good win for Anthony Henry here. I do have to say, I bet JD Drake was bummed that he missed out on the everybody gets the big upset weekend, because he was not here to get a big win over Walter anybody.
Yeah. Well, he's had a lot of time to shine. He just had that great match with Matt Riddle.
True.
And the match with Keith Lee.
And Keith Lee, yeah.
And Keith Lee. But did not win.
No.
Wins are important.
Didn't. Yeah, well, we get Walter laying out Anthony Henry after this. So, clearly we're going to get a Walter-Anthony Henry match. Which,
if they can bring this intensity to that one, that sounds amazing.
What on the previous show, Brian gave the take that Anthony Henry was not the kind of guy who would ever make it to NXT. I don't think I agree with that. Like, I think he's got a really good look, and I'm down on his tattoos. But
really,
good looking guy, and great worker. I don't see why he couldn't. I mean, he's small, but I don't see why he couldn't be an NXT guy.
Duh, I think.
How old is he?
That I don't know. He seems pretty young, though, right?
No, because he was in NWA Wild Side, like where AJ Styles got his start, yeah. I think. So he's been around since at least the early 2000s. That's why I would say he maybe doesn't make it to NXT. But he's certainly got the talent. Like, I've always kind of liked him, but haven't gotten sort of the big match from him yet. And going in, I honestly didn't think this would be a great showcase, because sometimes Thatcher's going to Thatcher. And I do enjoy that style, but it's not something that usually shows well. But he brought the intensity you usually get out of him in, Europe, or when he worked PWG, or when Chris Hero and him would just throw bombs at each other here in Evolve. So it was really nice to see him step outside of his vision and do something really exciting.
Yeah, it was more like some of those Hero matches he would have, in that they had a little better tempo and a little more hard hitting than your normal Tim Thatcher match. It looks like Anthony Henry is 33. Will turn 34 this December.
So those are prime NXT years right there.
Yeah.
He would need to go now.
He could be a champ at 40. In NXT.
Bobby Roode.
That's true.
Started at 38 or something.
Eric Young.
You have to work Impact first to get that run.
That might be the route.
It might be.
He plays younger than that, though.
He does. And he's in great shape. It's not like he's starting to – wait a second. I'm looking at his pro wrestling fandom website.
Okay.
And I see a budding problem here, because one of his nicknames is listed as the patron saint of wrestling.
Is that someone else?
That's Brandon Thurston.
Yeah.
Brandon Thurston's...
He's the patron saint of professional wrestling.
Okay. Well, which clearly he ripped off from Anthony Henry.
Oh.
I don't think this is a good name for either of them. What does that mean?
Bring it up in the Slack.
Are these guys trad cats?
No, so Thurston's whole thing is that him and his gang of kind of amateur style guys ran out all of the comedy gimmicks from their promotion, which I think is Empire.
Okay.
They used to book Dick Justice. So he's like, you're a joke. You're not a real wrestler. Get out of here. And he lost a loserly town and had to go away. Like that kind of stuff.
Seems rude to book a guy just to do that.
Yeah. Sorry. He's a heel. I don't
know. Okay. I guess that fits with the, I can't really see him as a heel either. He's a natural babyface. Bentley, you're muted.
That's great, because I've been doing a bit and I repeated it twice because I thought you stepped over it the first time, but in fact, you just couldn't hear it.
Yeah. Do you want to run that by us again?
I mean, it's going to fail, but I'm going to try it anyway. The thing about Brandon Thurston's group is, it's all about competition.
Okay.
That's all I had. It was like a catch point joke. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, again, that I know you guys have said that it's like the catch point gimmick a lot, but I never actually pick up on that in the actual text of Evolve. Like,
they say it all the time.
Do they?
Yes.
I've watched so many hours of this promotion, and I swear I've just never.
mean, they haven't said it as much since like Drew Gulak left, but even when Tracy Williams was the leader, they were like, catch point, it's about competition. That's why, like, okay, they would come out and then you'd get Tracy Williams versus Fred Yehi because they were about competition.
How is that different than the rest of Evolve, the promotion? Is the rest of Evolve not about competition?
Joke, Nate, that's the joke.
I'm being yelled at. All right.
Catch point's good.
Doom Patrol is good. Just rebrand it as Doom Patrol and their friend Dom.
It's nice to have like a constant, you know what I mean? Like, Evolve, it's been in like a state of flux for like the last probably 70 shows. But Catchpoint is always there. That's like the backbone of the company, you know?
Okay.
You can set your watch to Catchpoint breaking down and feuding.
Yeah. I did finally figure out on these shows the Dom gimmick. Dom is like Stokely's bodyguard, right? That's the gimmick? Okay. I put it together.
Congratulations, Nate.
Thank you.
Very proud of you.
Is he not in Catchpoint?
Wait.
He's like the enforcer for Stokely.
Dom is in Catchpoint.
Are we sure?
Yes.
But he's not paying Stokely. Stokely's paying him. Doom Patrol is paying Stokely because Stokely's the owner of Catchpoint.
Yeah, and then Catchpoint's paying Dom.
Okay. We got it.
That was excellent. Okay. Next up, Darby Allin took on Jericho 120, which we talked a little bit about earlier. Darby wins with a double coffin drop. Not as exciting of an outing for Jericho here. I don't know, a lot of people like this. I wasn't as into it, so maybe you guys will disagree. Nate?
You know, I didn't – they seemed a little disjointed. It kind of worked. Like, it seemed like were having these harried exchanges, which were, like, on the right side of sloppy, where they were, like, actually trying to hit each other, and that's why they didn't sync up super well. But, yeah, I thought the double coffin drop finish was cool. I thought that leg reversal that Darby did out of the corner when he was getting choked was pretty cool. You know, and I also like that Jarek had purple gear and Lenny Leonard put over, hey, he's got purple gear on because that's the Evolve colors and he wants to be the inspiration for Evolve or whatever. Those are the good sort of gear details I like. I thought it was like fine. It certainly wasn't like a major blow-off match to some feud like it was, I think, positioned to be, but you weren't going to top the Walter match anyway, so.
I have a question. Did either of you ever actually think that Jarek was going to win this? Because there was a point down the stretch where I was like, is Jarek winning this?
No, not coming off the Walter win. I had faith. Yeah.
It was worked so 50-50, like coming off of a win with the Walter, that I thought that Jarek was actually going to do it.
I assumed coming into the weekend that Jarek would win because, like, you know, he's going to have to win at some point. But, yeah, once Darby beat Walter, I didn't think so.
But the rest of the weekend, the booking was not like weird, but like you didn't expect probably a handful of winners. So
that's true. Absolutely.
So yeah, I part of me even thought that maybe Jarek should win just because like when it, like what's the point of this? We're entering like Ethan Page territory here.
Yeah, it's. I mean, like, especially after he lost to John Davis
towards the end, you know, or like this guy has to win something,
right?
It was not this.
Yeah. It wasn't. But yeah, you couldn't beat Darby after the Walter match.
So. I agree.
Yeah.
We have a little more Jarek content, but I want to blow through these last two matches quickly. Adrian Alanis rolled up Bishop King after he countered a Swanton with his knees. This was kind of a nothing match. Made me want to see Leon Ruff.
Yeah, if you're establishing Alanis here, why just do like a roll-up over another guy who's not on the roster?
Right, he should have killed this guy.
Yeah, I mean, I guess maybe it's sort of like a tryout match for both, but yeah, well, you could have just had him like beat this other dude unless they're using Bishop King for something.
Right, should have at least used his finish, whatever it is.
24, Shingo Takagi.
Thank you, Nate.
Heavy Bola here.
If they're not going to book the OWE guys, what's the point?
Gao Jingjia, pick them, book them.
And,
sorry.
In the opener of this... Dom Guarini took on Josh Briggs. Briggs wins with the M5. I missed some of it somehow. I think I thought Adam Cole versus Walter was going to be the first match, which is what they've done in the past, and that would be dark, so I didn't tune in right at 7, and so I missed part of this. But it was fine, what I saw. I liked Greeny more as like the spider monkey guy, like grabbing on to people and slapping on submissions rather than like this guy's a badass, you know, who's going to destroy you.
Yeah. Brian's kind of on an island with Dom. I think I'm not super into Dom.
I like Dom.
There we go.
Yeah.
Two man island.
I like Dominic Greeny. This is not a sex thing. Okay.
Save it for Bangdrink chat.
I know you've got listeners who will try to interpret it that way.
At least I can think of two off the top of my head.
I'm not going to call them out. Oh, they are.
I'm going to go back for a joke. I'm guessing the reason that Jocko lost in that four-way is because Gabe got mad at him getting wine drunk in WrestleSplania and shooting too much.
I don't get the joke, but I laughed at it anyway.
He was shooting. He was wine drunk and shooting on WrestleSplania.
I heard that he was on the show, but I have not heard it.
He's complaining about the flights that Gabe buys.
Really?
Mm.
Yeah.
Maybe I should listen to this. Glad that everything Evolves is now on the board with Evolve guests now that you know, you've put the big name one.
Maybe. Yeah, let's get into this. So, all right. During Evolve 106, the first night, there was a video going around of Jarek where he's at a restaurant. He does a magic trick for the waiter, but he says, hey, I'm going to do this magic trick. But if you pick the card that I tell you you're going to pick, I get a free dessert. The most underplayed part of this is that he was also saying it was his birthday, right?
Sounds right.
So, like, most times you get a free dessert on your birthday. Nobody talks about this.
Nobody talks about
it. I guess it's where you go, I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
Anyway, so...
Go to Friendly's
and get a... But then you, like, have to explain. Like, it's weird. Like, to me, it's weird telling the waiter, like, hey, it's my birthday, so I get a free dessert. That's...
Oh, it's super weird. That's the people you're with are supposed to do it as, like, we're embarrassing you thing.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, Jarek in the video gets the dessert for doing the trick. So friend of the show, TLR Podcast, at TLR Wrestling on Twitter, tweeted Jarek and said, yo, Jarek, did you actually get the free thing? Because the server only said he'd see what he could do. I got to know. Jarek says, I did get it for free, yes. He wasn't a plant. We didn't arrange anything. He could have said no, and I would have improvised. But this is far from the first free dessert at dinner I've gotten used to magic.
That's like a humble brag, right? Is that a humble brag?
I believe him. Like that, he seems like a guy who does magic for people to get free stuff.
Yeah,
and I don't mean that in a negative way.
Right,
he's a man of the dessert people.
He's proud of his magic.
Yeah. So I somehow got in this thread. I don't remember how, but then TLR podcast did a picture.
What is TLR?
Screenshot.
Stand for?
I mean,
yeah, friend of the show. What is TLR?
I have no clue. No clue. And they tweeted, proud to report to our followers my first scoop, this thing about Jarek getting the free dessert, which I thought was hilarious.
To the locker room.
Yeah. So then Jarek responds to that guy and says, with a picture of him at a pool at an apartment complex, and says, here's a picture of me at one of my two pools, Aaron. Why Aaron? I don't know.
Aaron, yeah.
I wasn't even the person who tweeted it. He said, I get what I want. Doesn't this inspire you to want more? I can help you, but you're just like Darby Allin and everyone else at Evolve 106, content with living on minimum needs.
Okay, so I appreciate that he's putting over his storyline in his tweets to you.
Correct.
Yeah. Keep kayfabe on Twitter.
Yeah. So
not in the DMs. Don't have to put on the voice in the DMs, but on the timeline.
So I couldn't stop going in. And so I quote tweeted and I asked.
No chill AB.
Right. I said, do you own the apartment complex too, Jarek? And Jarek responded, don't own the entire complex, no. Do I need to? Emoji with the monocle. I own everything in it, and I'm in debt to no one with all of my possessions paid off. A lot in cash. Parents were school teachers. I inherited nothing, built from scratch. Keep up your projects, and it could happen to you.
This guy rules.
That seems like genuine there, which is why I think he's like, yeah, AB is on the grind, AT is on the grind with everything Evolves. They're going to have their own apartments in this complex someday because they're keeping up their projects.
You'll get some like boner pill ad reads, and the money will start rolling in.
Yeah. Here's what I want to know.
Oh, hey, I've got a question.
Okay, go ahead, Jake.
This is, you would say this is a pro labor podcast, right?
Yeah, I would.
How much do you pay your guests?
How much do we pay our guests?
Yeah.
I'm sure I bought you guys dinner at least once in New Orleans.
I don't think that happened at all.
We went to dinner. We go to dinner?
Okay. How about Chicago? Yeah. I'll buy you guys dinner.
We had dinner
Chicago.
At the hotel afterwards, or between shows, I think. But
I think I was shamed for going to a nice Cajun lunch.
That, I
right?
To do with
Instead
that.
Of Progress? No, it was Jake mostly.
Yeah. I mean, you should have stayed for Progress. You missed Tony, but whatever.
Yeah.
Wow.
Walter Saber was great.
Wow. Yeah, no, I'm sure it was.
It was great. All right, I got to get back to this tweet for one second. He says, don't own the entire complex. No, do I need to? I own everything in it. What is he? How do you not own the complex, but you own everything in the complex?
He is suggesting that he owns more than one unit. And if he says owned, I presume it's a condo, right? Because you don't own an apartment.
Yeah, sure. They could be condos.
Two pools. Does he have two condos? Or
so really he's just saying he doesn't have a prefurbished unit and he's not leasing furniture?
Like, yeah, but he says I own everything in it being the complex.
Also, he said he has no debt, so no student loans from Magic School, so that's a plus.
That is a plus. I'm really confused about this tweet. Luckily, I asked Jarek if he would come on the show to talk about his Evolve run and, most importantly, that tweet. He said he would. I wasn't sure if he was kidding, so I DM'd him, and he has agreed
yes.
to come on the show.
Huge.
So we're still working out the scheduling. So if you don't hear from Jarek and me soon, make sure to tweet him and call him a coward.
You really should do a thing where, like, you surprise us with Jarek at the end of the show, and he's like, I was listening all along, and then he won't hear something.
His greatest trick.
Yeah, so I guess look for that soon. I guess that's everything that we
like. What are you going to ask him? You've been preparing questions?
I've been thinking about it a lot, to be honest. And it's like, do I start with your normal, like a Colt Cabana podcast where I just ask him about how
What's
he got
story?
Into wrestling?
Yeah, that's the most boring. Like, no one cares.
Who are your guys?
You don't think so? You don't think anybody cares?
I feel like, who trained you? How'd you get in? That's like hack shit. You know what I mean?
You can take a horny slant to it. Horny seems to be getting popular on the podcast.
Sure. But what I want to work into is, like, did the wrestling or the magic come first? And how does he kind of work the two together? I mean, why the wrestling and the magic? I want to know.
So I've got something for you. So I saw Penn and Teller last month.
Sure, yes. I'm familiar because you skipped something really important for that.
No, that's right. For the libertarian magic.
I can't remember what you skipped, though. There was a good wrestling show on.
I don't know, it may have been Evolve.
It might have been.
No, anyway, because it was something I watched, and I didn't watch the last ones.
Okay. Tell me more about Penn and Teller, please.
Well, so there's this whole like stretch in their act where it's not like magic tricks, right? The whole conceit is like this could be a magic trick, or it could just be like I just might have a really good memory, right? So it's like the nail gun thing. They've done that on like the Tonight Show or whatever. It's in some slots in the clip or whatever, or magazine are empty. Some have nails in them, and he is alternating shooting them into a board or himself, right? And it's like, is there some gimmick here, or is this just like a mnemonic device, right? Or handing out cards to the audience and like and they get to shuffle them, and then he memorizes the entire order of the deck as it's presented to him. Is this just good memory, or is there an actual, is there artifice here, right? And which would you prefer, right? Like, are you here to be fooled, or are you here to see like skill? You know what I mean?
Are you here to see some impressive athleticism and spots, or are you here to get sucked into the work of the story?
Right. So, like, I've been thinking about that as it relates to wrestling a lot in the last month. Like, when I watch wrestling, I want to be sucked in and fooled by, like, the magic of it and not, you know? That's not really a question, but...
I was wondering where that was
wrapped.
Yeah, it's not really a
so
question.
So I started thinking about PCO would actually just take the nail gun and like have him do it to his face or whatever.
He put a nail into his nose a couple weeks ago.
See, that's wrestling is the best because you just get the intersection and it can be everything.
Right.
everything evolves. I think the best thing to do with Jarek is honestly just to like let him tell me what he wants to talk about and just go from there. So I think he's a pretty interesting dude.
Are you going to try to broach like the whole
YouTube
Jarek thing? You know?
No. Oh, hell like, yeah. I have like, to. Like, I just want to know if he's aware of it.
Are like he has to be, right?
Well, we know he name searches, so he must have gone back and seen that we were just tweeting his name at some point.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I want to find out about that. What I'm really trying to decide is how much do I ask him about, like, the pickup artist stuff?
I wouldn't even touch that.
Okay.
I mean, he's probably done other – we know he did the interview where he talked about how much he likes kissing, right? That one's on the record.
Yeah,
there are probably other ones you can look up and see what's already been covered.
And I don't know. He's not the only wrestler who's dabbled in, you know, the game or whatever. I used to listen to Nigel McGuinness's very weird podcast. and he had Chris Hero on, and they talked about how they read Neil Strauss back in the day and would use that to pick up chicks after shows.
Very strange.
Yeah.
That's interesting because Jarek is like...
It's a committed relationship.
Proto Chris Hero.
Mm. That's true. He's Kiss Hero.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, mainly I want to like...
I don't know if I want to know more about Jarek. I think I want to know the current amount of Jarek knowledge that I do know.
Well, I kind of want Jarek to give me like some advice. Like, how can I get these? How can I keep my projects?
Let him do a low-key seminar on you with inspiration.
Oh, yeah.
So you can get to the level of having two pools at one complex, which I guess is what
that means. Maybe he's got like an indoor pool too.
Because I'm not content with living on minimum needs, folks.
That's good.
I mean, I've seen the interior of his apartment. He's put in videos before.
Oh, I want to ask him about the WWE tryout for sure.
Okay.
I mean, he visioned it and it came true.
Yeah. Ask him about his Bitcoin.
Oh, is he into Bitcoin?
It's on the whiteboard.
Yeah, crypto was on his like vision board.
I'm going to have to go back and look at the vision board.
Your vision dojo board.
I have to go
board.
Find Kara's tweets about this.
Do your research.
Dude, I don't even have it scheduled yet, okay? I got plenty of time to do research. The good thing is I know if Jarek listens to this episode, he won't make it this far, so he won't catch all this. All right, anything else you guys want to add?
I had one note. Brandon Tully just really has a good ref look. He just looks like a quintessential referee.
Yeah, he rules. I ran into him in the elevator in New Orleans, and he had on, like, Cleveland Cavs workout T-shirts. He was, like, always coming to or from the gym when I saw him in the elevator. That's it. That's my little
story. Working hard. I just think that's, like, a quintessential referee look. It's like he looks, like, authoritative but invisible.
Aaron Taub and I randomly send each other pictures of Brandon Tully. I won't say any more than that.
That's good bonding activity right there.
All right. Do you have any plugs you want to repeat, Nate, or anything else you want to tell us?
Oh, let me get my Bang Dream code here.
I have nothing to plug.
Okay.
Still.
All right.
I actually would ask if you don't follow me, do not follow me. I've got plenty.
Wow. Yeah.
It's a burden having so many.
After that, I keep stealing that from Jake on podcast. But yeah, I'm past the point where now people get mad at me and now people narc on things that I say, which is the point at which Twitter's not fun anymore. So yeah, when I get to another 100 or so, people are going to start getting soft blocked. So let's be friends unless you're not cool. My player ID on BangDream 161592. Add me there.
What's the upside of having more friends on Bang Dream? Like, what do I get out of this?
We could play multiplayer together, like in the multiplayer.
I thought
rooms.
About that.
Yeah, but you do have, you know, you have to sort of coordinate that, and it's kind of more of a hassle to sync that up than to just go and do it with randos. That's, I guess, the main appeal.
All right. Okay.
But it's kind of funny to plug. So.
Yeah. At Epitasis on Twitter.
Yeah.
I say go follow him. I don't care what they say.
I'm going to go tweeting about Kristen Stewart movies again soon, so look for that.
That's good content. Tweet about Forgetting Sarah Marshall some more. I think that would be good.
That's a good movie. That was really – people fucking put me through the ringer on that. That's a good film.
No, I'm a fan of Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
It stands up, right? Holds
it
up.
It does. We still watch it probably once every quarter.
Well, see, Sarah's smart. That's why.
That's right. That's right. Anything else you want to add?
No.
That was a Taub-esque answer there.
That was Taub-esque, except you answered it too quickly. So there are no.
Do you want to add anything on this match? No.
Right. I thought somebody would do the no. Nobody did the no.
No, I did my own no.
Okay. All right. There are no Evolve shows in July. So you won't be hearing from us. We'll be back early August for the Evolve Progress Tour, August 4 in Philly, August 5 in Boston, August 11 in Chicago, August 12 in Detroit. I think I'm going to be at the August 11 show, Nate.
Is that Chicago?
Yeah.
Come through.
I'm going to see Gaslight Anthem.
August and September? Oh, yeah, that's right. You had a concert.
I'm going to see Gaslight Anthem that night at the Riviera Theater. And the Evolve show is at 3.
Oh, the Riviera.
So okay. I think I can do both.
All right. I'll for sure meet you there.
All right. Yeah. Well, let's do the show. So I should have Tal back.
Not the Progress show, just the Evolve one.
Yeah, because I would have to go to the Gaslight show that night, so I would miss.
Oh, I got something to plug. The Progress.
Go ahead, Oak.
I'm going to be at the Cow Palace, and I'm going to be at All In. So come say hi. Find me on Twitter. Don't follow me, but find me on Twitter, and I'll buy you a beer, maybe.
Yeah, we're all going to be at All In, right?
Yeah.
Taub's going to be at All In.
Yes.
The whole crew. The
significant others will be at All In. That'll be fun.
That's right. We'll all be there. So
Heartland Rock, by the way, is how the Gaslight Anthem is described. Is that, would you describe them as Heartland Rock?
No, I wouldn't at all.
Okay.
Well, I don't know. They are relatively Springsteen inspired, but in that like New Jersey way, not in that Nebraska way.
Yeah, Bruce Springsteen is the second associated act, according to this. I don't know. I'm sure I've heard the Gaslight Anthem.
Do you like Hot Water Music?
Hot Water.
Hot Water. Have you ever heard of the band Hot Water Music? Oh, okay.
They're definitely less famous than the Gaslight Anthem, though.
Yeah, for sure. But, like, I forget that everybody else doesn't come from, like, punk rock and hardcore.
Okay. Oh, they're from Gainesville. It's like a Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers thing.
Hot Water Music?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think of them as that way. But, no, they don't really have a Tom Petty sound. They just sound like punk rock kids who got old and then they started making this kind of music.
Okay. I like Against Me. It has as an associated act.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense with Hot Water Music for sure. Anyway, this is
going to be. To the listeners, I will be next week. I'll be seeing Lucky Boys Confusion. That's punk adjacent, like a power pop punk. And then also Pitbull. I'll be seeing Pitbull out here in the suburbs. And just in the true white male suburban fashion, I'll then be seeing Weezer to wrap up my weekend with the Pixies. Wow. So
I saw Weezer. I saw Weezer at a festival when they play on the same stage after Gaslight Anthem.
Oh, there you go. Who was better, Gaslight Anthem?
Oh yeah, I'm not a big Weezer fan. I'm a big Gaslight Anthem fan.
I'm going to see the Pixies, really, except Frank Black only. So that's a shame.
I'm just one of these people who I get like obsessed with a band and then I have to see them constantly every time they play anywhere close to me. And so I've seen Gaslight Anthem a ton of times. But my now obsession is Jason Isbell, as a lot of people know. So
Jason Isbell. Okay. Country. Yeah. Country?
He
adjacent. He folk.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And a little rock. He used to be in Drive By Truckers.
Like alt country.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Alt country.
I saw Drive By Truckers at Lollapalooza some year.
Like Ryan Adams, he's kind of in that, sometimes in that vein. Not the rock, like not the newer rock Ryan Adams, but like Heartbreaker Ryan Adams.
Cool.
Yeah, I know everybody's loving this. Okay, so that's everything. And that's everything Evolves. At Evolve Pod on Twitter. Make sure you're subscribing. We tell people to rate and review, but nobody ever does, so I'm just going to stop. Who cares?
I don't have iTunes.
That was very, very like put upon.
get some social media tips from Jarek.
Yeah,
we're gonna have to.
He's got like a million.
That's a great
followers.
Idea. I'm just gonna use the whole thing as like trying to get him to teach me how to be more popular.
You need a life coach.
Yeah. Oh yeah. This is great. I'm gonna DM Jarek.
Can you get its own theme music of like life tips with Jarek? This should be like an ongoing thing.
All right. I have to end this. I have to end this. My wife is like, "Where the hell are you? What are you doing?" At EvolvePod on Twitter. I'm at Aaron Like the Car on Twitter. Do follow me because I don't have any followers. I have like 400 followers, so nobody likes me. So I would really appreciate it if you follow me and then just occasionally hit like when I do a joke that nobody else hits like on. I would really appreciate that. I did this really funny Ramones joke that nobody laughed at. I thought about that this morning.
Yeah, I'm not in the punk arena, man. I wish I could help you out.
So the joke was this. Let me just tell the joke here. You're familiar with the song "I Want to Be Sedated."
It's always really good when you explain the joke.
Right, sure.
I have, yeah.
I've heard okay, it. So I did this bit where I replaced the lyrics with the names of Joshi wrestlers.
Okay.
It was Hana Kana Iyo Mio Kairi Hojo. I want to be a Joshi. That was the joke.
I don't get it.
So I think I remember seeing that.
Yeah.
And I did. Did you explain that it was to be the tune of that song? Because it would not have been clear to me.
I started it with brackets, Ramon's voice.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, it just doesn't play to me.
I didn't see it.
Has Rosalia covered the Ramones? Because otherwise I'm just adrift.
I literally was in the shower this morning like, wow, I can't believe that joke didn't get over.
I was into more like the LA like kind of thrash punk stuff. So.
That's fair.
I was looking at J-Punk. I was like looking up Robbie Brooks. I had tweeted about some like J-Punk acts. So I was searching through those. That's kind of fun.
Yeah.
I actually watched Decline of Western Civilization like a week ago. Holds up.
Okay.
Yeah, two is way better, but one, not too shabby.
Welcome to Music of the Mat, Punk Edition.
This has gone on way too long. All right, it's been fun. Thanks, everyone. Thanks to Jake and Nate for carrying the burden of replacing Aaron Taub.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
I hope we'll have you back on the show sometime.
Yeah, it was fun.
All right. For Jake and Nate, I'm Aaron. We'll see you next time.
Bye. Bye.